hands are shaking.
Men, I'm not going to waste any more of your time than I have to. I want to wish you good luck on today's mission. To those of you who won't be coming back, I'd like to say we're going to do our best to take care of your wives and or sweethearts. Everyone ready to go?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Got a message for all you kids out there. I know everyone says, oh, you can do whatever you want if you put your mind to it. It's all one big lie. Crushing disappointment. So, give up on your dream.
I have ideas that can make the human race existence within our 100 years better. Period.
You're just absolutely right. And I'm absolutely wrong. It must be nice to always believe you know better. To always think you're the smartest person in the room.
No, it's awful.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Am I on the air?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hell yeah.
Roll another one.
You're being quite rude.
Just like the other one.
I get it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
But you're wrong.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That's a deal.
Why?
Roll another one.
Chronically flatulent.
Just like the other one.
I'm a scientist.
This one seems to be about to end.
Whatever that is.
I don't have another cent.
I'm going to quote a great man here and say, daddy likey.
Come a long way since Kazan.
Let's pass it around.
That's racist.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
You know what I keep asking myself?
Why? Why didn't the Seahawks just give the ball to Marshawn?
Our feature presentation.
Right?
Right.
Daily. Daily.
iZombie last season, which is a show that is set in Seattle, so it makes sense. But yeah, Daily, pretty much for me, too. Daily's about right.
Who won that? I forgot.
I don't remember.
I remember the other team was off.
Oh, I'm just hearing it was the Patriots.
Patriots.
I'm just getting my headphones now. Patriots.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Well, their research team in the other room let
so
us know.
So right. It's the rightest, really. Yeah. Oh, just heard it's the rightest. Yeah.
They didn't win as much as Seattle just like okay. gave it.
Let's not
still a win, right?
They just said, here you go.
Still a win.
Have it. Yes. Yeah. It's considered a W.
Right.
It was really
But it's not like they earned it. It was just like Seattle said, you know what?
I don't know. That was a pretty incredible interception.
Seattle said, we don't want this.
They gave up, essentially.
It was really just a mention. It wasn't meant to spur
They called that play. It was like, hey, this probably won't work,
right.
But let's go for it.
We can move on.
It's
dumb, right?
So
but that's
dumb.
Not the worst part.
Don't go back to yesterday. I can't take it.
We were playing the highlights of those phone calls yesterday about the grossest jobs, and a listener woke up to it this morning and wrote in to say, that's not how I wanted to start my Friday today.
It's not how you want to start. It's not how, in the middle of Friday, just, we don't need that.
No, it changed Kevin yesterday.
Right.
I had a couple of times. Look, I thought it was fun. I'm glad we did it. I think the listeners enjoyed it. I hope they did. But there were a couple times yesterday when I just started thinking about that trash juice, and it was hard to move on. Hard to move past that.
You played with trash juice last night, didn't you, Chip?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
All right. Little Chip was played at the Viper Room last night, you guys.
Woo!
How'd you do, Chip? How was it?
Oh, awesome. Duh.
How many groupies after?
13 and a half.
So yeah, I'm intrigued.
Are you
one of them wanting?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got a story to get us started here. I'm hoping you guys haven't seen this because I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Caddyshack is a movie that we all enjoy, right?
Top five.
One of the greats.
Yes.
And isn't that that's Ivan Reitman, who we just had in for the Ghostbusters a few days ago. Isn't it? Is he Caddyshack or no?
I feel like he's Stripes in Animal House.
So he's not Caddyshack. Okay. Well, Caddyshack has a very famous scene in it with Bill Murray, who is talking about caddying for the Dalai Lama. Now, I know there are a lot of people, that movie is very old, or 80s now. A lot of people maybe haven't seen it. So I do have a clip of the scene that is in the news right now.
Okay.
Bill Murray is telling a story about how he one time caddied for the Dalai Lama, who is a, you know, a head Tibetan leader, Buddhist guy.
And a scratch golfer. A lot of people don't know that.
Right. And a big hitter. So here's here's Bill Murray, and then I'll tell you why it's in the news.
So I jump ship in Hong Kong, and I make my way over to Tibet, and I get on as a looper at a course over there in Himalayas.
A looper?
A looper. You know, a caddy, a looper. Jack. So I tell them I'm a pro Jack, and who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama himself, the 12th son of the Lama. The flowing robes, the grace, bald. Striking.
Who's better than Bill Murray, by the way?
No one.
Zero people.
No
he can
one.
Take, I saw What About Bob the other day. He can take any line and make it funny.
Yep. He is straight magic.
Yep.
So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter in the Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga La Gunga. So he finished 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I said, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, oh, there won't be any money. But when you die on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
All right. So that's a thing that happened 5 years ago. This weekend, a Fox News reporter named Brett Baer, whose face you would recognize if you saw him, except for Kevin, who doesn't watch news, he's a kid, is interviewing the Dalai Lama. And he decides he's going to ask the Dalai Lama about the Caddyshack scene. Okay?
Okay.
Good move, bad move. Is that something you do?
Awesome move, because I want to see his reaction to
it. If you're talking to the Dalai Lama, I mean, you need to take that opportunity.
I'm sure it's not your lead question, but you're getting that in.
That's the only one you care about.
Absolutely.
So you respect his game for asking the question, even though Dalai Lama and he may have other...
But let's hear how he asks it. I mean, I feel like it's a worthy stab.
Okay.
Last thing. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
What?
Caddyshack, the movie?
I don't know
the movie?
I don't know.
Okay, what do you do if you're Brett Baer at this point, and you have asked if he's seen Caddyshack, and he says no?
Well, now you have to bail quickly.
Yeah, you don't explain the scene.
Right.
That's
you don't say there's this guy, and then there's this thing, and then they did this. You go, okay, thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
The part about the Dalai Lama? Have you ever played golf?
Okay. Do you double down when he already hasn't seen Caddyshack? Do you then double down with, do you play golf?
Because even if he plays golf,
right, he still hasn't seen Caddyshack.
He hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he'll understand the clip more as it's being explained if he's played golf.
But you guys, we just heard the clip. The clip is hilarious. Explaining it to somebody who hasn't seen it, it just sounds like nonsense, right? Yeah, there's a guy who talked about how he caddied for you and you were going to stiff him, but you gave him eternal life or whatever. That's not funny when you just paraphrase it. All right. Caddyshack, no. Golf, no.
No.
You're not a big hitter?
Then Batman.
But not golf.
Okay. You're not a big... So now he's quoting dialogue from the movie. The Dalai Lama's still confused. Still wondering what the F he's doing in this interview.
No.
There's a classic movie called Caddyshack.
I love this reporter so much. Chip just wrote, he's going full mugs. And you don't go full mugs.
What do we always say on this show, Kevin? When you're in a hole, stop digging, right? That's the first advice. He is going for it. Now he's going to explain the scene to the Dalai Lama.
Where they talk about the Dalai Lama.
I see.
I had to ask you about it.
I don't know.
Well, thank you very much for the
time. Thank you.
Very appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so then they throw it back.
Oh, had to ask him. Big hitter, the llama. Well, thank you.
Wait, this was live?
No, it wasn't live. Oh. It was a taped piece, and that's my next question. Huh. If it goes like that,
you don't put that in.
Do you leave it in?
No. You bring it back, and you show the people at the station and say, dude, I asked him about Caddyshack. He didn't have anything. But you do not put that in.
I wouldn't think so either. No.
But I feel like there are a lot of reporters that are super lazy, and they air what they get.
But if
that's just how it works.
No, if it's a packaged piece, he edited the heck out of that. Absolutely.
Yeah, he absolutely had time. He chose to leave his fail with the Dalai Lama in the interview. And I'm wondering what
And at the end of it as well.
Yeah.
Right, for that big crescendo.
But you know what? You can criticize his choice to air it when he had the chance to edit it, but we all enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, right? Sure. Thank you so much for airing it.
Sure. So we got that going for us, which is
right.
good.
Which is nice.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
After zero consideration, I'm happy to say hard pass.
Scott Aukerman in studio.
Love him.
From his wacky TV show Comedy Bang Bang.
He's 1 degree of separation from Weird Al now, so.
Yeah, I know.
He's
all being cares about
better
than
he was last time
Al.
He was in.
Pamela Chellin will be on the program today talking about the Led Zeppelin trial that Bean wants so much to be a part of.
And she's been in the courtroom every day and has been filing fascinating reports. Sounds like an interesting case to watch unfold.
We are going to take calls on drunk, unwanted visitors, which happened to the King of Mexico's girlfriend yesterday morning.
So weird.
Just woke up and there was somebody that she didn't know looking at her.
Oh. And it wasn't Dave. Like, it was scarier than Dave.
And the girls, but the girl said, and tell me if this would help. By the way, is it possible to be scarier than Dave?
No.
The girl said, tell me if this helps. It's cool.
If you wake up out of a dead sleep and there's a stranger in your bedroom and they say, it's cool.
I feel like.
It's still not cool.
Right, but I feel like it's a little.
No, Kevin.
Less scary.
No.
Because they're letting you know, I'm not here to hurt you. I feel like it's cool helps. Well, we'll ask her. It's coming up this morning. Beer Mug has a new diet I can't wait to talk about. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have comedian Frank Caliendo in the studio.
On the phone.
Sure.
He'll be calling from the next room.
Uh-huh. And we also have Susan Michaels. And Susan Michaels is associated with CatCon LA.
Is it that wonderful time of the year again?
It is indeed.
Where all the cat people come out. And they go to the convention center and they just...
cat it up.
This is going to be a difficult one for me to be nice.
You were very nice last time. Ish.
I'm just saying. Cats suck. I think we all agree on that.
Nope. You and I are not cat fans.
Okay.
But we've got Bean, who loves cats. People love cats, Kevin. Maybe we're wrong.
There are more cats than there are dogs in America.
Well, I feel like maybe we're wrong is my stand. That's my position in life. I mean, I just assume that I'm wrong.
I'm still not going to get one.
Right. Okay.
But
we're going to talk to her about CatCon LA.
Okay.
It's going to be good fun. And that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Here's what I'm saying. They've got the hand claps covered in the song.
It's the name of it, really.
It's Hand Clap by Fits and the Tantrums. They're doing the hand claps. You don't have to add your own hand claps.
Well, we were making it better until you started talking over the song.
Would it be better if you sang along with the songs that
we
play?
Probably.
Good sesh.
That was a good sesh. I feel good about it.
Felt that.
Why hasn't
we had some rehearsal yesterday, so we're feeling good.
Yeah. Why hasn't Hands of Fury broken up yet?
What? How dare you?
It's just beginning to pick up speed, Bean.
I'm working on tracks in the lab.
Right?
I'm buying handsoffury.com.
Right.
Chip's handling all the social media.
This is a thing, Bean.
Happening.
We're opening for Kanye.
Exactly.
I feel like it got even worse when Omar joined, too.
Omar is a musical genius.
I think more clapping does not make it better. The fewer clappers, the better.
The ultimate number
would be zero.
Right, that's the problem.
You do realize, Bean, if you never said a word, they wouldn't have done it again.
Really?
Yeah.
This is all, now it's my fault.
Yeah. I'm going to start including some butt claps, by the way.
Oh, Omar.
Yeah.
Don't tell us when, though.
Okay.
We have to guess.
Hey, will you look at the time Allie McKay's in for Rough Grab with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday?
Bean, you tweeted something last night that you were up from midnight till almost 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your tweet?
I don't remember specifically, but it had something to do with can't sleep until I know Meatloaf's okay.
Okay.
I'm very upset about the loaf. I don't like the news coming out of is it Calgary last night?
Edmonton.
Edmonton. I don't like it at all.
But you weren't really up because of that.
No, he tweeted during that time.
I was. That was what was keeping me awake is because goddamn 2016 has already killed so many great musicians if they take the loaf.
Wait.
And I said to him, I said, you're serious? Love Meatloaf that much?
I do love
he
Meatloaf
does.
That much.
No, but wait. You were up from midnight to 3:30 for some other reason and also concerned about Meatloaf.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some Meatloaf?
Yes, that is correct. Something else woke
me
up.
Okay, good.
But then when I saw Meatloaf in the news, I thought, ruh-roh. And then I was concerned every minute that I was going to get that little bulletin on my phone that said Meatloaf had passed away at 69 after collapsing on stage.
For those that don't know what happened, he collapsed on stage last night while performing in Edmonton. He hit the floor in the middle of I'd Do Anything for Love and lay motionless on the stage. And a lot of people in the crowd didn't know what was going on. And then panic kind of set in. People realized, oh, no, people were rushing in to help him.
Get back up and say, but I won't do that?
No, he was rushed to the hospital.
Sorry. In an ambulance, like a sick person.
According to his Facebook page, he had postponed a Calgary show earlier in the week due to illness. And he's been having to cancel a lot of shows recently because of an undisclosed illness. So not quite sure what's up with him, but he's in stable and good condition, according to Rhett Bean.
Well, he's had heart trouble and he's had asthma. So those are both both things that will knock you out if you're doing a live stage show, the kind that he does, a very energetic show that he does.
I saw a quote from somebody in the crowd that said, I thought he was just being theatrical.
And then you go,
what?
How long?
What? How long is he going to keep this up?
Right.
Wow, he's really milking the applause just laying on that stage.
Right?
At some point, a guy has to come out and put a cape on him and he jumps back up and starts singing again.
I was in the House of Blues, and I don't remember what band I was seeing, but there was a water main that broke up on Sunset, and water was pouring into. And my friend said, is this part of the show? I was like, this place is filling up with water. Let's get out.
These are great special effects.
It's unbelievable. So they thought that about the loaf.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's really selling it. Look how long he's up there.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed for the loaf, right?
Absolutely.
Great America.
Unfortunately, we are out of time.
What?
I know.
Got started. How about a little less hand clapping, you guys?
Oh, yeah, blame us.
Less hand clapping.
No.
Then we'd
Why do some people tune out?
That's a great question,
right?
Jiminy.
Because there's too much meatloaf talk. That's my answer.
That might be true as well. All of these stars are celebrating a birthday today. Singer Barry Manilow is 73. I know, you're a fan, Lo. Kids love him.
Day.
Kids have loved Barry for years.
Cheered me right up.
I'm sure it did.
Screw you, Meatloaf.
Oh, wow.
You're a fickle lover.
Never say that again.
Sounded terrible.
Let's get that right.
That's very unpleasant.
I was not happy with that either.
I did not leave a good taste
in
my mouth.
Agreed.
Actor Greg Kinnear is 53. Will Forte, we love him, is 46. Tennis player Venus Williams is 36. UFC's Chris Weidman is 32. And rapper Kendrick Lamar is 29. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Hey, do we have time? Can I do a shout-out real quick?
Sure.
I'm not a shout-out guy.
That's what I was.
What's coming?
I think shout-outs are BS.
Right, but you're going to do one.
We're not the coast, okay?
Right.
We don't do shout-outs.
But we're doing one now.
Good morning, guys. I have religiously listened to every podcast episode of The Kevin and Bean Show for the last 8 years.
Yeah! Thanks, Chip.
All right.
Chip's very excited about that.
I was turned on to you guys by my best friend, Chris Asuna. He's been listening to you guys for even longer. He goes to April Foolishness almost every year, but I just wanted to email you to let you know that he is about halfway into chemotherapy right now, and I know a shout-out or something from you would mean the world to him. You guys make this difficult time for him a little bit easier, and I just sincerely wanted to thank you for the work you guys do. I love you guys and Allie and, of course, Fire Beer Mug, even though he's a dad. And that's from Kevin and Bean listener Kevin Basie. So if you don't mind,
how about a little
shout out for his good friend Chris, who's going through a tough time right now. I hope he hears this, and I hope he perseveres and plugs on and gets well real soon.
Say, all right.
actual human emotion there for me, by the way.
I know, you guys hear that? I don't know what's happening. Were you choked up for a second?
No, I felt it was faked. I wasn't choked up. I felt it was faked. It wasn't faked at all.
What's happening?
I just feel, feel for the kid going through this.
Right.
Absolutely. But
the Grinch's heart is turning.
Yeah, we're saying that's how the rest of us feel.
And if we can help in some small way, I feel good about that. All right, back to you.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know if I can go on.
That Chris Osuna realizes what just happened. He changed Bean.
Bean's heart
Dear
got
diary,
one size
at
larger.
At 6:26 this morning, something magical happened.
All right, zero. Let's open the show up for phone topic here. Dave, tell us what happened yesterday at your home.
All right, guys. So, as you know, we all wake up here early. And once in a while, me and my girlfriend will have to switch cars. So yesterday morning, we switched cars, and my girlfriend went to bed. I came to work. I get a call around 6 a.m. with my girlfriend freaked out because she forgot to lock the door.
Right.
And a drunk girl walked into our apartment and was going into our bedroom.
So when...
Go on.
Yeah, I know, right?
So when your girlfriend woke up, what did she see?
Well, the only reason why she woke up is because my awesome dog, Rhonda Ruffy, was barking up a storm. So she wakes up.
Kill the mood, though?
So she wakes up.
She wakes up, and there's this girl hovering over her.
I don't think this is sexy.
Yeah.
Really?
It's
is that
scary.
Where it's going?
Yeah, I think it's pretty scary.
It's pretty scary, yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah, but scary could be sexy. It could be like
okay.
Scary.
Right.
Like, whoa.
It could start scary but end sexy.
So my girlfriend says, who are you? Why the F are you in my apartment?
Bedroom at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Bedroom, yes. Yeah.
Oh, why is she got to come at a visitor with attitude?
Right?
She's never going to get any friends this way.
Oh, right? Is she?
And can you leave? Well, in a much meaner term.
Yeah, I think that would have freaked me out.
Yes,
if you wake up in bed and there's someone standing there looking at you.
Yeah.
The girl tends to respond, shh, no, it's okay. Relax. Calm down. It's cool.
Oh my God.
I hope your girlfriend felt a lot better about that.
Oh, it's cool. Oh, wait, it's cool. I didn't realize it was cool.
And that's when it turned to this.
Yeah.
No. No, so she's this. So now we have this random girl in our apartment.
So what does your girlfriend do?
She ends up taking the girl out, kicking her out of the apartment.
Okay.
And then, about 15 minutes later, takes my dog for a walk. And this girl is just roaming around the neighborhood looking for her friends.
Okay, so she was genuinely lost.
That's
what was happening. She was looking for somebody else's apartment.
Wasted.
Okay, so there was no ill will here. It was just she thought she was
a drunk girl.
Wow. Can I say, thank God your girlfriend didn't have a gun?
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a real... understandable natural instinct to wake up, see somebody hovering over your bed, and go self-defense, and it just would have been a tragic accident.
You took that a long way from I'm saying, come on now.
So
I'm just glad she didn't have a love gun, you know what I'm saying?
Wait, hold on. I'm trying to diagram that in my mind, and it's not making
Dave
sense.
Dave actually winked as well, by the way, for the record.
I'm saying, God, it wasn't a dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, got you. So she just wandered into an unlocked apartment by mistake, thinking it was a friend's. So what did your girlfriend do when she saw this random stranger continuing to wander the halls, try to get her some help? Or
yeah, she ended up talking to her, and it turns out that it was our neighbor's one of the roommate's friends. And they went out for a night.
The place next to you.
The place next to ours.
I
yeah.
see.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then it turns out our roommate was lost as well. So these girls must have had a great night.
It sounds like
no kidding. Wow.
Well, it's been a long time since I've heard a story like that, although we have certainly seen them in the news a number of times. Who's the celebrity that kept crashing on people's couches? Was it Charlie Sheen, I want to say?
I don't remember.
Who am I thinking of?
Steve-O.
Did Steve-O do it,
Steve-O
too?
Steve-O would always do it.
Steve-O, maybe. Yeah. That's an evergreen.
He would have to go to a bar, pick up a girl, and then just crash on a couch.
Yeah, there was somebody else, too, but I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, somebody who just kept showing up in people's houses.
Didn't Robert Downey Jr.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking
years
of.
Years and years ago. But so did Carrie Fisher. Didn't she like wander into someone's backyard or something way back in the day?
Yeah, that would be so weird.
Right.
Well, we are looking for your stories of you accidentally ended up in somebody else's house or apartment. You didn't mean to, but you were probably drunk. Or it happened to you. You had an experience like Dave's lady did where you woke up and there was somebody in your house. We want to know what ended up happening and how you handled it. This could be fun.
Now, we want to keep away from crime. So if somebody broke into your place, not that interesting.
Yeah,
and then you say you shot him in the back and then you tried to auction your gun online or something. We don't want those stories. We want stories that are funny. Because nothing happened and you just happened to be...
Yeah,
you,
they didn't break in on purpose.
Right.
That's the key here, is that they accidentally came into your house.
Do you guys remember one of our interns, Crikey? He, during Halloween time, he was dressed in lederhosen.
Oh, yeah.
And went to the wrong house. Mm-hmm. He was wasted after a Halloween party, went to the wrong house.
He was wasted?
Yeah, he was wasted too. And the guy woke up and just calmly just said, oh, okay, cool, no worries. Just get on out.
That was it. No,
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 no
anger, no
violence,
panic.
Nothing. Just hey,
well,
you're
the
wrong
in
house.
The lederhosen. I mean, how much of a threat does he pose?
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You know what we're looking for. You accidentally went into somebody's house or apartment. You didn't mean to. No malice intended. It was just an accident. Probably under the influence of something, or it happened to you. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Got to catch up with our longtime friend, Frank Caliendo. Very funny comedian and impressionist in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amici Show. Right now, we are taking your calls of you stumbled into somebody's house by accident. Not with malice. It was just a mistake. You were probably drunk or stoned. Or it's happened to you. Just like Carrie Fisher, right, Allie?
No, apparently it was Margot Kidder. Thanks for clarifying that. Stand down. Stand down.
Well, that bad lady on the radio is the one who said it.
But apparently,
you're yelling at
it. It was also a psychological episode, so that's a whole other situation.
That's not funny. We're looking for funny.
We're looking for funny.
Uh-huh. Okay. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Ontario, please. Start with Jessica. She's on line 7 to get us going.
All right. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. How's everyone?
Good. Thank you. You were drunk and?
No, it actually happened to me.
Oh.
Yeah, I was probably like 12 or 13, and I shared a room with my sister, and I could hear like weird noises at the window that I slept near, and eventually I could hear that someone was trying to pry into my window.
Oh,
and
no.
I peeked through the window, and I saw a cowboy hat, and it scared the crap out of me.
That
so
is terrifying. Who wears a cowboy hat,
right?
I ran to get my dad, and he runs in, and it's this drunk Mexican guy doing all he can to open my window.
Did he shout,
yeah! Did you ever determine a motive?
Well, when my dad opened the window to cuss him out to figure out what he was doing, his wife had opened the window across the alley from us and was yelling at him to come in her window.
Wrong window!
It was terrifying.
Wow.
And my dad was able to laugh it off, but I never was.
That
I can imagine.
Funny. Well, I'm glad it all worked out. Thank you very much for sharing. We appreciate that. Let's try Albert, Simi Valley. He's up next. He's on line 2 on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Albert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the reason I'm called Albert Downey Jr. I was passed out in my buddy's car, and I woke up, walked into the house, thinking it was the house, and I hear yelling and screaming, and lights are on, and next you know, a guy runs up to my face and puts a gun on my face and says, get the F out. Oh,
that is not hospitable.
I'm shocked. I'm walking out the house. I'm down the street now looking for the right house, and he's still following me, telling me, get out of here, get out of here. And I end up turning around. It was like a yelling rampage, and my friends came out of the house laughing their asses off.
I'm sorry. Did you say you were having a yelling rampage with a guy that had a gun?
Yeah, because okay. I was trying to leave, and I kept telling him, I'm leaving. I'm just lost. I was in another state. I was in Arizona. And so it was just a wild thing. So ever since then, my friends always laughed at me, told me, oh, Albert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And I just woke up on the guy's couch and not even know him.
Yeah, your friends are right.
But in your defense, you were in Arizona, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Not sure why that matters.
That's relevant at all.
But thank you for sharing it anyway, Albert Downey Jr. Let's go to line 1, please, Montebello. This is going to be Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Great.
All right, let me guess. I'm just going to guess that you're the one that went to the wrong place.
I did, yeah.
Okay. All right.
What happened?
So I was looking for a new dispensary to go to in the area, and while I don't have the address, and I'm walking.
Oh, a new dispensary? I'm sorry. Are you sick? I didn't know.
No. So while I'm looking for this place, usually the doors are open, and I catch a door that's cracked slightly open.
Right.
So I walked into the place, and it looks like a business, but unfortunately it wasn't. And I walked into a family eating dinner in the living room. So it was like those movies where somebody walks into the wrong place and they had to slowly back out.
You backed out?
I just slowly backed out. And as I walked out, I looked next door, and the place was right next door.
That's awesome. Did they say anything?
They didn't say anything.
That's
They were all eating, and they slowly looked up, and they were looking at me, totally confused, like, what is this asshole doing in my house?
I wonder if that happened to them more because they were right next door to a dispensary.
Great question. Hopefully they started locking their
Probably
door.
People walked into their house all the time.
Looking for weed. They should start selling.
Is that some weed?
I love the idea, though, the visual of you not saying anything, just realizing you're in the wrong place and backing out, and them not saying anything. Oh, sorry.
Radio.
Is what you meant, right?
Oh,
right.
Sorry about that.
No worries. All right, Frank, thank you for the call, sir. Well done. Let's try Javier, please, in Azusa. He's on line six.
All right, Javier, hi.
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
We are good. You walked into somebody else's house?
Yes, I did.
To get away from the wind?
Why don't you tell us about it instead of making us try to extract the information from you?
No, well,
are you in a convertible, sir?
So I went to visit my buddy in San Diego.
What kind of G-force are you pulling in there right now?
Are you in a hurricane simulator?
I'm on Metro Section.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Thank you for the call, Javier. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a Hall of Fame segment from the Kevin DeBee Show. Hey, speaking of Red Hot Chili Peppers, brand new album out today, guys. The Getaway, finally available for streaming and purchase today. Allie is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on with you?
Also, speaking of the Chili Peppers, remember their Carpool Karaoke with James Corden
that we just saw this week? It is great.
Amazing, right? Mm-hmm. They actually pull over. They wrestle in the front yard of someone's home. Well, they also had a dance-off, which they didn't include. But after the dance-off and wrestle-off, as they were heading back to the car, they heard a woman yelling from across the street. She came out of her house holding her child, screaming, my baby can't breathe. So all the guys from the Chili Peppers run across the street, and the woman thrust the baby into Anthony Kiedis' arms. And he didn't know.
And says, you're the dad.
Basically.
Really? I was kidding.
No. So all ran across the street, and he said, I'm going to try and do a little baby CPR real quick, see if I can get some air in this kid. So I started rubbing the belly. Bubbles come out of the mouth. The eyes rolled back into place. The ambulance showed up, and I handed the baby over, who was now breathing and fine, and we went back to Carpool Karaoke. What?
That is amazing. What?
It's crazy that she handed the baby to a perfect stranger who knew what to do.
If you're freaking out and you're waiting for an ambulance and you see people at least outside, you're going to do anything, I assume.
Yeah, I would assume so, too.
But Anthony!
Which one of that group do you hand your baby to, though?
And
they got James Corden?
And wouldn't his shirt still be off at that point because they had just wrestled with
probably
their shirts off? My goodness.
What a weird, weird thing.
Unbelievable. So he actually wound up telling the story on Radio X yesterday, and people were like, what the heck happened? And now my second question after all of this, why didn't they include a dance-off?
Yeah, I can't answer that.
I need to see that, right? If they had a dance-off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they released extended cuts after they put those Carpool Karaoke's up, but it was 15 minutes already, the one they put.
Yeah,
put
but
on
you
the
don't
TV.
Take out a dance-off.
No,
right,
which, by the way, maybe this is why he said we danced off, we tied. How are you going to end it in
that's
tie?
Bogus.
Come on.
You keep dancing is what you do. You keep dancing until
you
win.
You know, Kevin, you've been in how many of these?
Right. Thousands.
Thousands.
Well, you had that MTV. You were in that MTV dance crew show for a long time, remember?
Right.
Yeah, I was.
And I founded the Jabberwockies.
Right? That was you. Well.
I think it's Jabba, but I love the R.
I mean, we changed the name since the original name was Jabber.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we changed it. But
Well, congratulations, Anthony. I'm glad that worked out. That's awesome.
That, I mean, he's having a great week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Carpool karaoke, your album comes out, you save a baby. You tie in a dance-off. I mean, that's not great.
It's a little bit of a letdown.
Kind of a letdown, but that's huge. Any of you heading out for Desert Trip out in Indio?
I am not.
You are not. Well, if you wanted to go and you couldn't get tickets, but you're dying to see the Rolling Stones, well, guess what? In between those two weekends in October that they will be performing in Indio, they are going to head on out to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on October 19th. They have just booked a show there. So if you're dying to see the Stones and can't head out to Indio, head there.
So let's say you can't go out to Indio on the weekend. You're saying they could go during the week to Vegas?
On October 19th.
I'm just clarifying.
That does sound convenient for a lot of people.
I didn't really think this one through. I'm okay. Just trying to help out. Like, maybe you have a Tuesday off.
Or maybe you can't afford the hundreds of dollars to go to Desert Trip, and you can afford whatever the just seeing the Stones is.
Maybe you like air conditioning. Why not head to an indoor arena?
Okay. Acceptable.
All right?
Mm-hmm. We're good. We're good?
We're good. Were you guys nervous about John Stamos when they decided to cancel Grandfathered? Were you nervous thinking, oh, that poor, ugly, untalented man, what
well,
is he going to do?
Well, he'll never get another woman now that he doesn't have a show.
Well,
I know that.
Clearly. Clearly. Well, worry no more, because he is going to be on Fox's drama Scream Queens. He will be playing the head surgeon at a hospital in the upcoming second season. So Davis don't. He loves John Stamos
and he
loves Scream Queens.
Yes,
so that is a match made in heaven. He's also pretty busy, seeing as how he's also got a reoccurring role on Full House on Netflix. And he's developing a musical feature set. A musical feature set to the songs of the Beach Boys for 20th Century Fox as well. I was up late at my my gig at the Viper Room with my band.
I thought that was Chip.
Was that her?
No.
She was the one who was out.
No,
late,
Chip was at home watching Orange Is the New Black.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was she binging it?
Yes. Yeah.
sort of body snatching going on here.
A lot of body snatching happening. Also, don't worry about Indiana Jones, you guys. Don't worry.
Fictional character?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not going to die.
Okay.
Don't worry. Indiana Jones fans can breathe a sigh of relief knowing that their favorite action hero will stay alive for a very, very long time. Steven Spielberg tells The Hollywood Reporter that Harrison Ford's legendary character will not be killed off at the end of the flick.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Unlike Han Solo in Star Wars, The Force
Another
Awakens.
Another spoiler alert.
If you really, I can't. I can't. Hey, some albums out today. We mentioned the Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Getaway. Also, Radiohead, A Moon-Shaped Pool. Maybe you're a Neil Young fan. Earth is out today as well. And Bean, I don't know if you know, Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers, Rehab Reunion is
really?
Out today. Yeah. And really? Shockingly, he does not play piano on it.
That is a surprise to me.
Isn't it?
Are you sure about that?
Well, a weirdo told me.
I just spent 10 minutes typing that off the air when Bean was ranting about how he doesn't play the piano, because he's known for playing the piano, and he plays the piano a lot, but he doesn't play the piano.
And I was quiet. I didn't say a word.
Right.
To which Bean responded, "That's just the way it is."
Yeah!
The kids don't love it. I love it.
Bean's in control of the kids, and that's just bad.
Yeah.
Start to finish. That's a terrible idea.
Don't we have the kids? You take away the kids?
It sounds just the same.
It's just...
It's pretty much the same.
Oh, that's too bad. Hey, happy birthday to these stars born today, June the 17th. Barry Manilow is 73.
Yeah!
Craig Kinnear is 53. Tennis player Venus Williams, 36. Kendrick Lamar is 29. UFC's Chris Weidman is 32. And actor Will Forte is 46 years old today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Grumman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
It is Friday morning. We're going to be talking to Pamela Chellin from The Wrap. She has been in the courtroom all week long for the first week of the Led Zeppelin plagiarism trial. That's coming up in 1 hour. Our friend Scott Aukerman joins us at 9. But right now, I feel like it's been too long since we've had the great Frank Caliendo on the show. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv, not this, but next weekend. Four big shows, Friday and Saturday, June 24th and 25th. Tickets available at improv.com, on sale right now. Hey, Frank, how are you, man?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. I was thinking about you yesterday. We were complaining about how hot it's going to be here in Southern California next week. And a listener from Phoenix who listens to the podcast sent me their weather forecast. And you're still out there in Arizona, right?
Yes.
120 is predicted for Monday, Frank.
Oh, God.
That's going to be awesome, right?
100. And now, do you suddenly start looking around for some stand-up gigs you can do on a Monday anywhere in the country?
Well, it's my wife's birthday on Monday, so I can't go.
But you could take her away for her birthday.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be that's the great thing about air conditioning. So, yeah, we won't be going outside at all.
Yeah, you guys aren't leaving the house. Are you a person who has developed some tolerance for that kind of high heat because you've been living in the desert for a long time, or is it still miserable every time it gets to that number?
No, it's completely miserable. But I grew up in the Midwest, so whenever I go back to like Wisconsin or Chicago, that kind of area, those areas, I realize how much I don't know if it's true or what, but you say your blood is thin, so I'll go out there and I freeze at like 50 degrees. My teeth will start chattering. It's pathetic. I mean, it's really terrible. And, you know, during the year, the winter and stuff in Phoenix, it gets down a little bit, you know, it will actually get some frost sometimes.
Yeah, it dips into like the upper 80s.
Yeah, we definitely. It is pretty pathetic of me.
I thought, I saw on the Twitter last night, I felt like, speaking of your Midwest roots, I felt like you were rooting hard for Cleveland for this series, too.
Yeah, and my wife is from Cleveland. So ever since I read, I did this thing, the LeBron James letter, the I'm coming home thing, as Morgan Freeman years ago.
Right.
And it took off, and Fallon even played it for Morgan Freeman on the Tonight Show that night. And it was, you know, just... It was
that's awesome.
Reading everything, the Morgan Freeman, I'm coming home. You know, just doing that before anybody ever cared where I played basketball. There was Northeast Ohio. And that's all I can remember.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, well, and that's become the thing is people think of me for the. It's good because I've gone from the pigeonholing of the John Madden thing where everybody thought, you know, hey, what's John Madden think of that? Hey, I think it's time to, you know, go take a shower. Boom.
I wanted to ask you if there's any room for John Madden anymore. I mean, do people...
Well, yeah, I mean, I throw it out there every once in a while. I found, and this sounds like a joke, but I actually did this and realized how stupid it was. The worst place to do a John Madden impression is going through TSA. Because a TSA agent actually said to me, he goes, hey, could you do a little John Madden? I went, sure. Boom! And I was like, oh. That's when Frank realized that's the stupidest thing he'd ever said in his entire life.
You are so right, though, that Morgan Freeman narrating anything makes it, A, better, and, B, seem important.
Yeah. Like I did those vines, too. It was Morgan Freeman narrates himself. You just see the first person. You see the refrigerator open, and it's like, and that's when he realized he had no milk for his cereal. And soon Morgan Freeman would be headed to the grocery store.
This is the voice of our friend Frank Caliendo here on the Kevin and Bean Show, again at the Irvine Improv, not this, but nextweekinimprov.com. Now, Frank, you are delighted that Donald Trump is a thing because your Trump is great, and you must be so happy that he's the nominee instead of Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or something.
Well,
right?
It's truly tremendous, guys, and you're doing a fantastic job. And let me just say this right now. As great as a job you've been doing for a long time, this is going to be the number one rated show you guys have ever done. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be good.
Do you feel a little bad, like I do, that if he indeed does become our president, it will give us all kinds of content? And that's not necessarily good for the country.
Right, yeah. Politics aside, in terms of job...
Correct.
It's tremendous. It really is. You can't not do the Trump impression and talk about Donald Trump. That's just the way... I'm going to make... I just love... Like, the slogan itself is fantastic. I'm going to make America great again. And then... I'm going to make the United States great again. And a lot of people don't know if that's the same thing or not. And then I'm going to make the planet great again, the solar system great again. And then I'm going to make the universe great again. And not just this universe, every universe, the Marvel universe, the DC universe, Batman, Spider-Man, and I are going to be in the executive branch, and we're going to do everything we need to do. Spider webs, batarangs and hair pieces. It'll be good.
Frank, I saw your Donald After Dennis that you did a while back, and it was so funny. And I couldn't tell. What did you put on your face to look so orange?
Pumpkin pie.
Really?
No. It's we just take massive amounts of bronzer and not go around the eyes, and it's I don't know. There's too much hair in the wig. But I don't know about you guys. I'm so unhip, I guess. I don't know what the words are. But I didn't even understand the original, which was Damn Daniel. I watched Damn Daniel. I was like, oh, okay.
Yes. So,
and when I saw that, and then when I realized, well, I could do the same alliteration with Damn Donald.
Uh-huh.
I was like,
you did that, yep.
And then I was just like, you know what? I'm kind of doing this in a mocking way. And then all of a sudden it had 9 million views. I was like, oh, all right, whatever. I don't know what's funny.
I'm going to agree with you that Damn Daniel is impossible to explain. You either get it or you either like it or you don't.
I think it's just the delivery that's great.
Yeah.
There's something that's incredibly catchy about Damn Dan. Damn! And we toyed with whether we were going to like do Trump saying Damn Donald in the background for himself. And then went and did it the real way. But it was pretty good, I thought.
It's so dumb. It's just so dumb. But it was really funny that you did that. Irvine Improv next weekend. I feel like it's been a while since you played there, Frank.
Yeah, I think probably a couple of years. I'm not sure exactly. I've been doing a lot of theaters and casinos and stuff like that. And then, you know, right now, this summer, I've actually been working on a lot of different stuff. And with the Trump stuff, I go up there and improvise as Trump for like 15, 20 minutes a lot of the time. So it's a lot of different fun stuff.
I was going to ask how you start that process. Do you sit in front of your TV at home and just replay it and try to match it?
Originally I did. I've been doing Trump for a while. I mean, I've met Trump years ago. You've heard people say that thing where there's two Donald Trumps, the one you see on TV and the one you see behind the scenes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like that. This is before he was really quote unquote running for president. I still have to put it in quotes, I think.
Yeah.
But this was
before he went full on racist.
Yeah. I was still at Fox. And it was me with him, and we're doing the sketch. And in the middle of the sketch, he just stops and goes, wait a second, is this good? Does everybody think this is good? And everybody around the room was like, yes, Mr. Trump. Fantastic, Mr. Trump. This is great, Mr. Trump. Well done, Mr. Trump. And I was like, wait. Does anybody ever say something's not good? He's like, no, Frank, and that's part of the problem. I can't get real answers.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, he gets it.
So, you actually saw the curtain pulled back, Frank.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't know. I'm amazed. I try to stay out of the actual politics of stuff and just make the character. But I'm amazed at how many people really like him. So it's interesting.
The people that scare me are the people that love either person. Because I can't imagine they speak really directly. Everything that they think is what you think. That's scary.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I'm not a big fan of politics in general. That's why I make fun of it.
Understood. Yeah. Hey, listen, Frank. Before you go, forgive me. I don't know the answer to this, but are you part of this new Mad TV renaissance for the summer?
No. You're not. First, I'm hearing of it.
Awkward.
Hey, Frank. There's a new Mad TV.
No, I had heard about it, but no. I feel like I've done enough sketch.
Yeah, totally. I understand.
To
work
on some different things. And listen, if it paid enough, I'd probably be there.
Well, you're doing you're one of the best live shows in the country, and it's always a thrill when you come to town. And we're excited you're back at the Irvine Improv next weekend, Friday, June 24th for two shows, Saturday, June 25th, two shows. Tickets available right now through improv.com. You'll have a great time at that show if you get those tickets. It's going to be a lot of fun. Frank, great to catch up with you again, man. And stay alive on Monday. Happy birthday to your wife.
Yeah, I love to stop in and see you guys sometimes. Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye-bye. Remember last Friday when we had Matt Achedi on from Rotten Tomatoes to do the movie beat for us?
Yes.
We had a good time. We thought it went well.
Right.
Apparently we said, hey, Matt, how about next week? He said, hell no. So apparently that says a lot about us, that Matt wouldn't come back. But he was kind enough to offer up his senior editor who works with him there at Rotten Tomatoes, and we welcome Gray Drake to the show right now. Hey, Gray, how are you?
Good morning, guys. You know what? Don't feel bad about anything. Matt's just a huge tease.
That's the way he is.
Apparently so, yeah. Well, before we talk about the movies, I want to congratulate you and thank you for something, Gray, because I was checking out your latest reviews and interviews, and you do a terrific job with it. And you had Eli Roth in your sights, and because I know he produces this new clown movie. And I wanted to thank you for holding his feet to the fire and never let him go in public without somebody asking where the goddamn Thanksgiving movie is.
Oh, you are welcome, sir. Man, we're going to get an answer out of him one of these days.
He was in our studio and promised us that that would happen
years ago.
It's funny that that's the only thing people want to talk to him about,
right?
Is a fake trailer.
So make
right?
it.
We get it. You're swimming with sharks.
Lightly, darkly, all will be caught.
But I was very encouraged, though, because when you asked about it, he said there was a script, right?
Yes, he said that it's happening. It's just going to take him forever, but thank goodness, because I've been waiting for, I don't even know how many years now, guys. But it's been too long.
It's been too long.
He's been spending his time producing movies like Clown.
Now, how is Clown? I know it's not one of the big ones that's out this weekend, but you saw Clown, too. Is it good?
It's awesome. And it is. So imagine if you were a dad filling in for a clown that couldn't show up to your kid's birthday party. You put on the costume, and it wouldn't come off.
Ah!
Awesome.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It's so good, and it's directed by John Watts, who's also directing the new Spider-Man movie.
Wow. Okay. All right. All right. That's a great tip. And that's out now in limited release, Gray?
It is, and it's on video on demand, and you've got to rent it.
Okay, that's a great tip. All right, let's move on to the big movies of the weekend. The Rock is back, this time with Kevin Hart, Amy Ryan, great cast. It's called Central Intelligence. I don't know much about it. What's the deal?
Well, this one, just start with the tagline. It's genius in life. All you need is a little heart and a big Johnson.
Oh. Go on.
So in high school, Kevin Hart was the golden jet, and he was like, everybody loved him, and The Rock was definitely not The Rock. He was the nerd, and everybody made fun of him. But when they grow up, the zero is a hero.
Okay.
And The Rock has turned into The Rock, and he may or may not be a CIA agent.
Okay, like you do.
Exactly. So he and Kevin Hart get reunited through Facebook, like so many jerks that I went to high school with and me. And they go on this an adventure together, because are they embroiled in a vast conspiracy, or is The Rock just completely bananas? You don't really know through the whole movie, and that's one of the very many funny things in the film.
Here's a clip from that movie.
God, man, look at you. You've lost like 200 pounds.
What did you do?
I just did one thing.
I need to know.
I worked out 6 hours a day, every day, for the last 20 years straight. I'm in the CIA.
Are you joking with me right now?
I got a plan. Might get us both killed, but if it works, it'll be a totally boss story. Cool?
No, it's not cool.
Cool.
No, I said it's not cool. You were like Jason Bourne in Jorts.
That sounds like a great combination of two guys working together.
They are magic together, and that's exactly what everybody was banking on. The script is not the most creative comedy I've ever heard, but those two together are amazing. And bonus, The Rock's character loves unicorns, so done.
Okay.
I'm in.
All right, and one of the most anticipated sequels in recent years, particularly for parents with kids, is the follow-up to Finding Nemo called Finding Dory. Was this a good idea, Gray?
It was a good idea, because Pixar can pull off miracles, especially in the sequel world. And Ellen is back as that little forgetful fish who is searching for her family. She just gets a burr up her butt, and she wants to find these people, which makes sense. And so she drags Nemo and his dad along on yet another adventure. Now, the deal with this movie is that the plot is nearly exactly the same as Finding Nemo, make no mistake. But since that movie came out, everybody's seen Frozen about a million times. So you're going to forget that it's the exact same thing, just like Dory would, actually.
All right.
And it's, oh my God, it's all connected. Yes.
Here's a clip.
And so,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
She has a whole bunch of really great supporting characters around her that you're going to hear in this clip.
How do the stingrays all know where to go?
Instinct. Something deep inside you that feels so familiar that you have to listen to it.
My mom, my dad, I have a family.
We will never forget you, Dory.
What if I forget you?
I miss them.
Totally sick!
Isn't it great?
No! I'm gonna be totally sick!
Dory?
Yes?
Dory?
Yes.
You and I were friends!
No.
It was so much fun because I'd tell you a story and then you'd completely forget about it and then I'd get to tell it to you over and over again.
How much is that expected to make?
Oh my God. All the money in the world.
All money?
I believe that the projections are about $150 million this weekend.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane, but it's totally worth it because this is one of those Pixar films that your family will love. You will love as that creepy adult individual sitting by yourself in the back.
Beans talking to you if you want.
How dare you? Look, Pixar has the best track record in the history of movies in terms of great movies to bad movies, right? So it's kind of a sure thing when you go, no matter what your age.
Exactly. And even though this is not necessarily one of Pixar's best films, just like The Good Dinosaur wasn't either, they're still what other animated studios aspire to. And when it's not the best, it's still super good, and you're going to laugh and cry in the same heartbeat. I love this movie, and that wasn't just because I was slightly doped up on painkillers.
Well, it definitely feels like summer when you got Finding Dory out, Central Intelligence out this weekend, and of course the dark horse that Gray recommended is called Clown, and that one's available in limited release and on demand for your horror film fans. That sounds great, too. Follow Gray on Twitter at Gray Draken. She spells it G-R-A-E because she's interesting. And of course, RottenTomatoes.com is where she works as senior editor. Thanks for coming on. We enjoyed it.
You got it. Thanks, everybody.
K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number 4 is Lollapalooza, you guys. Kevin, you've been that festival many times.
Oh, it's so great.
It's one of the best.
The park is beautiful. There's a lake on one side. There's the whole Chicago skyline on the other side. It's an amazing place.
Did you go to the bean? Did you get your picture taken in the reflection of the bean?
No, I did not. I tried to stay away from anything bean-related.
Radiohead is playing, Foles, the 1975 Jane's Addiction, Bastille, LCD Sound System, and, of course, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And we are sending you there courtesy of our friends at Warner Brothers. You qualify at 9 o'clock this morning, then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9. Get all the details at krock.com.
Yesterday after the show, we were in the office and we were having a conversation with Muggs, and Muggs was telling us about his new diet. New?
It's actually not new. I've been implementing this diet for years now.
Okay. Please.
Hey, Muggs. It's not working.
It's not working.
How dare you?
Would you say
you've been implementing this?
Hold me.
Yes.
Muggs, would you say it's working?
Some days it works.
Some days. Some days it works. That's what you want with a diet.
A diet some days is enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Sorry. So I'm excited. I don't know what this is, and I'm excited to hear about it because if anyone has a tip on how to lose weight, I feel like that's information that most of us would be eager to hear.
Right, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Muggs?
So, my diet that I've been doing for years on and off is the soap diet. It's...
The soap.
The soap diet.
Diet. You eat soap?
No, I don't eat soap. But it's when I order large quantities of food or a food item that is really not... It's not part of my diet, but it's on my plate. Mm-hmm. Well, in order for me not to eat that item...
You don't order it?
No. No.
Okay.
You cut it in half and put the other half in the fridge so you can have it for a different meal later?
No. I make sure that I will not go back to eat it once I throw it away by putting soap on it.
So wait. So you have an extra item, whatever it is.
So let's say...
And you don't want to eat it.
Right.
Because of the diet.
Right.
Okay. So you take half of whatever that is and you throw it in the trash.
Right.
And it's still not safe.
Right. It's still not safe.
Now, I've gone back in after pizza, which is in a box.
Right.
That's
right.
Okay with me.
Right.
And you're saying, like, straight into the trash?
Yeah.
Like hamburgers and stuff?
Yeah. Like, so let's say I order...
Not in a box. Just
it's like in a wrapper. I'll crumple it up in a wrapper and throw it in the trash, and that's still safe to me. In my own trash, and if I know it's in the trash, if there's not anything bacteria ridden, I'll know it's still safe. So
Now, and your intention when you throw it in the trash, your 100% intention is, I am done with that and I will never fish that out. But just in case you talk yourself into making a bad decision and trying to fish it out, you want to make sure it's inedible.
Yeah, or I'll do more of a preventative action before I throw it out. I'll make sure to put the soap on it. So yeah, exactly. So I won't go back into the trash and get it. So for instance, let's say I order three double cheeseburgers from McDonald's.
Let me just stop you right there.
Okay.
What if you just ordered two? And then you don't have to put soap on the
and
third
one. You're saving money.
Because right. because I want the two extra patties that'll come on the third one.
The two extra patties?
Because I want to consolidate. So what I'll do is I'll take the three double cheeseburgers and I'll put... I'll take a patty...
Wait, this diet isn't working?
He's making a Frankenstein hamburger. What could go wrong?
I'll take a patty from that third
burger.
Do the
patties have to all be from different parts of the cow?
No. I'll take a patty, each patty from the last burger, and I'll put it on the two burgers that I already have.
Okay.
Making it a triple cheeseburger.
So then what's left? So what's left of the third?
No. So what's left of the third one is just the bread, and the bread is tempting sometimes, and it's not good to eat a lot.
So you throw the bread away, even though you've already had the two triple cheeseburgers.
Or, so I'll put soap on that bread, no way I will ever go back to that and put that in my mouth with soap on.
Here's
it.
My question, Bugs.
Yeah, yep.
Did you learn this from Miranda on Sex and the City?
No.
She did that with chocolate cake. She threw it out, went back, got it from the trash, didn't want it, and decided, I can't trust myself. So she grabbed dishwashing liquid and poured it all over it. And that
Muggs
was how
got
she,
his diet.
I think he did.
From Sex and the City.
Never watched Sex and the City.
Yeah,
but
I think
he
did, though.
It's a good technique.
Maybe start calling it the Miranda diet.
It's a good technique.
So, like, the other day, I ordered a chicken piccata from California Pizza Kitchen on point, right?
How many?
Just one.
Okay.
So it comes with the chicken and spaghetti. The
piccata.
The chicken and the piccata. And I had all the chicken and there was half of the serving of spaghetti left.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for me not to eat that half serving left, because I would have felt like a fat pig, which, how dare you, Chip?
Seriously.
I poured soap on that spaghetti and put it in the trash, so I know that I'm not going to eat it.
All right, I have to ask again, Bugs, and forgive me, but why not put that in a little Tupperware and put it in the fridge and have it another day? Why ruin? Why waste food?
I can answer that because he doesn't have the self-control to wait until later.
Exactly.
So you can't split it up between lunch and dinner. If it's in your fridge, you're going to eat it immediately after you finish.
If it's in his neighborhood, not just his house, but anywhere in his neighborhood.
Kevin is precisely correct.
Have you thrown your food in the outside trash before?
Yes, but
still tempting.
No. Because that is just...
You don't soap that up?
No, if I throw it in the outside trash, I'm pretty good on not going in. It's only the inside
trash.
Pretty
good on not going in.
Pretty good on not going in.
So occasionally you will dumpster dive outside get a bun of a burger that you already took the burger off of.
In the outside trash, unless if that bun was wrapped in the wrapper in the original bag, not touching anything, then I'd probably be tempted.
Then it's safe.
But,
it's good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
we're almost out of time, but I have two quick questions.
You should
for
fill
you,
up your trash with soap, and then automatically by throwing stuff away, it gets soaped.
That's a good idea.
Two quick questions.
Yeah,
you've struggled with your weight. God bless you. You've been working really hard. You do try, but
he
why
doesn't
you,
work hard and he doesn't try. Bean,
his intention is there though.
Yes.
Why are you ordering chicken piccata and triple cheeseburgers? Why is that your base meal?
Well, the chicken piccata is not bad. It's the spaghetti that's the carbs.
Well,
you know?
Yeah,
the cheeseburgers. Yeah, I mean, I have a soft spot for fast food.
You know, a lot of soft spots.
Oh, Kevin.
There you go. No. And you know. I like spaghetti, but...
You cannot lie. All right. But the second question is...
is that Sir Mix-a-Lot reference?
That's what he did.
Wow.
Oh,
second question is, so how does the soap taste?
That was my final question. My final question was, have you ever...
No. I mean, who likes eating soap?
Mugs.
Have you ever just once, though?
You don't eat the soap. You
Mugs.
Scratch the
Look,
soap off.
No,
maybe the top
no,
layer
no.
of the bread.
That's sad. Look, I already have.
That's sad.
That's where it gets
sad.
I already have.
I thought you might like it.
No. I already have self-control issues enough as it is.
Right.
If I ate the soap, I mean, that would be pointless. I might as well take poop and wipe it on the food.
What just happened?
That took a turn.
Just made it.
Yeah. Poop burger.
I don't like. Hey, I know Ali is here with the Showbiz Beat in for Ralph Garman here on K-Rock, but I do have to give this update because listeners did the research. Muggs was saying there's nothing wrong with the chicken piccata. That's not the problem. I understand that the pasta is where my problem is. Here are the facts on the California Pizza Kitchen chicken piccata.
By the way, just before you say this, everything that comes out of his mouth can be fact-checked.
Of course.
And will be wrong.
Of course. 78 grams of fat in the chicken piccata, 375 milligrams of cholesterol, 1,628 calories.
In one chicken piccata.
Serving of chicken piccata from CPK, yes.
But so there you go, Muggs. But he only has four at a time.
Right, exactly. So keep doing what you're doing. Come on!
Woo!
Killed it!
What's better than that?
Not that.
Everything else that isn't that.
A hater's going to hate,
right?
Kevin.
All right. We'll get an update from inside the courthouse of the Led Zeppelin trial coming up right after the top of the hour. First, here's the Showbiz Beat with Ali.
We told you a little while ago about Meatloaf collapsing on stage last night in Edmonton.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some Meatloaf?
He hit the floor in the middle of I Do Anything for Love, lay motionless. There's video of it. It's pretty shocking to see him just fall down. Then the roadies try and rally everyone for applause. Like, hey, nothing to see here. Let's.
Did he pass out?
He did. Here's the thing. He's had a lot of different illnesses. You were saying asthma and what was
heart
it?
Condition? Yeah,
and a heart condition. Mm-hmm. He canceled a show in Calgary earlier in the week, but just heard from his rep that says Meatloaf collapsed Thursday night due to severe hydration near the end of his concert. He was admitted to a nearby hospital to undergo routine tests. His vital signs are stable and normal. He's responsive and recovering well. And then thanks, everybody, for their well wishes, support, and understanding. But not real sure what's happening with Meatloaf because you aren't dehydrated for, you know,
did Beer Mug walk into the hospital and put soap on him?
Don't see that in the update, no.
He does put on an incredibly energetic show. I mean, he is famous for, you know, leaving it all on the stage. Wow, but, I'm watching.
Hold on. Kevin, just mouth the words to me, because he's Meatloaf. Yeah, I got it,
I wasn't
Kevin.
Sure that you got it. I wasn't positive. I didn't get the response that I was hoping for, so I just wanted to make sure.
I am watching this video, Ali, as you described it, and he just... I mean, it's like he's getting really, really dizzy, so he helps himself to the floor by putting his hands out and laying down. But, yeah, it's real scary, and it doesn't take long for people to come off from backstage to come out and help him.
Yeah, not a
good
situation.
They knew something was wrong.
Absolutely.
I'm glad Carson Daly is the one giving me this news on the Today Show, in this clip, by the way.
Me too?
Okay. Same.
Good. Mila Kunis, you guys.
Yes.
Expecting her second child with hubby Ashton Kutcher. How exciting! Just in time for Father's Day. He's going to be a father again. They already have a 20-month-old little girl named Wyatt Isabel. So that's kind of great news, right? Moving on. That 70s show star Wilmer Valderrama has joined the cast of CBS TV's NCIS for the upcoming season. That's season 14, by the way, of that show, NCIS.
Wow.
14th season. Deadline reports he'll be a series regular and help fill the void left by the departure of original cast member Michael Weatherly. And he's been playing a lot of serious roles lately, from Fox's Minority Report to stories on Grey's Anatomy. So he's stretching his acting muscle, if you will.
That's great news.
Is it?
Not really.
What would you like to talk about, Kevin?
Just whatever you're into, I'm into.
All of these stars were born today, June 17th. Barry Manilow is 73.
Except that.
No, not that. Uh-oh.
Mr. Manilow's getting a call.
Uh-oh. Might be one of his Fanilows. Actor Greg Kinnear is 53. Will Forte is 46. Venus Williams is 36. UFC's Chris Weidman is 32. And rapper Kendrick Lamar is 29. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the Showbiz Beat. Little
I'm steady. Ex-ambassadors on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:03.
1 hour away from the return of our friend Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang. That should be fun. But right now, something I've been looking forward to all week long. We have talked to Pamela Chellum before. She is an outstanding journalist for the LA Weekly, the Times, Rolling Stone, Spin, Forbes. She writes for everybody. And she is covering the Led Zeppelin case for TheWrap.com. Did they steal a portion of Stairway to Heaven? Can you imagine if their legacy is tainted by more plagiarism? And we welcome Pamela back to the Kevin DeMeech on K-Rock right now. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Very great good. To talk to you. Is it true, producer Dave tells us, that you are literally in line waiting to go back into the courtroom for another day of testimony right now?
That would actually sound like a privilege. I've actually been sent out of line because they've now banned cell phones on the 8th floor from being turned on. So I am sitting outside a cleverly named cafe on the first floor called Legal Grounds.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, so we didn't screw up you being able to get into the proceedings this morning, did we?
I might have to go into the overflow room, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's
all right.
Totally fine.
First of all, for folks who are just hitting this news cold, it would be a surprise to people to find out 40-something years later that somebody is making a claim on Stairway to Heaven. How did it happen, Pamela?
Well, basically, there has been testimony that Randy Wolf, who was known as Randy California, which is a nickname Jimi Hendrix gave to him, he was apparently upset throughout the years, thinking that Led Zeppelin did take a portion of his song Taurus and turn it into the opening of Stairway to Heaven, but he felt deterred and intimidated from suing. He died swimming in 1997, and the trustee for the Randy Wolf Trust has placed the case. But in 2014, the Supreme Court came out with a decision that you can make old copyright claims, and you can get money on the last 3 years that the songs have made money. So that's why they were able to file the claim now. And that's why they did file the claim now.
So even if they win this thing, it is not going to be a huge judgment if they only get profits on the last 3 years when, let's face it, there hasn't been a lot of sales going on for any artist.
Well, there was a reissue of Stairway to Heaven in the last year. And the plaintiff side is actually saying that they're asking for close to $40 million. But, the damages are up in the air. We really have no idea what that's going to be. And also the judge reduced it to 50% because it's a beneficiary owner, the executor of the trust, and not the actual person.
Really? Interesting.
Okay. How is it in the courtroom? Are people kind of starstruck to be in the room with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant?
Yeah, I have to be honest. It's pretty surreal sitting there, especially when they play 2 minutes and 14 seconds of Stairway to Heaven while Led Zeppelin is sitting in the courtroom.
Do you lift up your lighter?
I actually did make that motion to another journalist.
Nice.
There are a lot of lyrical puns going on in the courtroom with our vessels and our hedgerows. But yeah, it's really surreal, and I do think there's an electricity in the courtroom that I've almost never seen, because they are sitting there and watching Jimmy Page play air guitar while he was conferring with something with Robert Plant yesterday. It was pretty amazing.
Now, this is a song that they say they wrote, what, in about 1969, 1970 or something like that?
The song Taurus?
Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven, they're saying, was written at the end of 1970.
Okay.
And then it came out in 1971.
Right, that's what I was figuring the timeline. So how clear is their recollection? These are guys who wrote dozens and dozens and dozens of songs, and we're talking about 40 years ago. Do they have much to offer about the origins of writing that song?
They do. They talk very clearly about writing it. But, there's a dispute about, they have to prove if they had access to the song Taurus and to the band Spirit, and Jimmy Page now keeps saying that he didn't know the song Taurus when he wrote Stairway to Heaven, but there have been 5 Taurus records found in his record collection, and it did include the first record, which had the song Taurus on it. They also played on 4 different festivals together and 1 show in Denver, which was Zeppelin's first show, but Jimmy Page says he never saw the band Spirit play live and that he never met them.
I'd like to make my ruling now. Guilty. Come on.
Well, it is a civil trial, so they'll be held liable if they are
liable. Then
fridge.
Liable.
So Pamela, so you
quite ring as well. Yes.
No.
Despite being a Led Zeppelin fan, despite being a little bit starstruck, you are also a journalist, and you're looking at this with objective eyes. How do you feel when you hear Jimmy Page say, "Well, I was on all these shows with him, and I owned a bunch of their records"? Is he believable when he says he didn't know this song, Taurus?
I'm pretty conflicted because, to be honest, he does sound absolutely sincere and believable. At the same time, if you're going to say that you were a fan of the band Spirit in the 60s and you play your first show in the U.S. and they're on the bill, why wouldn't you know that? He was saying that he thought Vanilla Fudge was the headliner, which they did play, too. But that part seems a little bit suspect. But
yeah, how do you remember Vanilla Fudge?
Right. So, you know, is there some Vanilla Fudging going on?
That's what I was getting to, Vanilla.
Oh, I hope that's in one of your pieces for the rap.
Yes.
How are you getting – is this a jury, not a judge trial, right?
Yeah, four men and four women. And it's funny because three Led Zeppelin fans, when I was watching jury selection, were not chosen to be on the jury.
Yeah, I imagine. And what sense are you getting from watching the jury's reaction to the testimony?
I'm not really getting that much of a sense of them. I'm a little bit far away from them, but I have looked over several times, and they just look very serious. And, like, there's a lot of music testimony going on right now, and if it's confusing me, I can't even imagine what's going through their heads.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of stuff that happens in trials seems to overcomplicate something that's simple. I mean, Kevin, I know we have the clips here. You said from the very beginning when this news broke, you let him into the courtroom, you play the two songs back to back, and you have him rule.
And then
period.
You rule.
And you rule. Because right? That's all you need to know, right?
Yep. To me, it sounds identical.
Well, here's the other issue. The sound recording of Taurus is not admissible in this trial. They are going on the deposit copy, which is sheet music registered in 1967, which does not sound when played the exact same as that sound recording. So what you hear on YouTube is not what we're hearing in the court, and it's not what the jury's hearing.
Why is that?
Why?
Because the copyright...
That's all that matters.
Yeah, well, to YouTube. But the written composition is the one that has the copyright, and the copyright is at stake. So... That's what happened. And that was the same in the Blurred Lines trial. And it is a tricky issue, especially for people who aren't aware of the law.
Wow. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I might take back my adamant libel.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the Blurred Lines trial, because that was one where the songs were similar, but it really was more of the vibe of Got to Give It Up that Blurred Lines have. And when you just look at the sheet music, I don't know that those songs would have been identical. Is that going to come into play in this one? Are they bringing up that as a precedent of some sort in this trial?
They can't bring it up as precedent. The Blurred Lines judgment is now on appeal.
Okay.
And so they're just going to have to go on whether or not they find the songs to be substantially similar is the bar, and whether or not Zeppelin had access to
okay.
the songs.
This is the voice of Pamela Chellin, by the way, on the Kevin DeBean Show, writing for therap.com. She has been in the courtroom every day for the Stairway to Heaven plagiarism trial. All right, here's my last question for you, Pamela, and that is it admissible that Led Zeppelin has a long history of plagiarizing other songs?
Led Zeppelin have had many claims that they have settled and added songwriting. I think at the first record, there's now only one song that is exclusively written by Led Zeppelin.
Wow. They tended to borrow from the blues.
Yeah, and the plaintiff lawyer has tried to call them a cover band many times.
Oh, snap!
Snap!
Yeah.
So that's admissible? The jury has heard that?
No, actually, so that's not... Sorry, your question technically was it admissible? It has not actually been admissible in court. However, the plaintiff's lawyer did sneak in the dazed and confused one, and the judge did not like that because he's been told not to mention that stuff, but he is sliding things in so the jury hears stuff.
Gotcha. All right, before we let you go and get back into the courtroom for the day five of testimony, do you have any gut feeling right now on how this will shake out?
I have to be honest. For some reason, my instinct is telling me that Zeppelin are not going to be held liable just the way the cases are looking to me in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we will find out sometime next week.
All right. Very exciting. I mean, you get to do a lot of cool things in your job. I bet this is going to be one you remember for a long time, Pamela.
This is incredibly surreal, I have to say.
All right. Follow along at therap.com and on Twitter. It's at Pamela Chellin, and that's C-H-E-L-I-N. Thanks so much for joining us today. Get in that courtroom and have a great weekend, too.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye now. How about that? Bean wants to be on that jury.
I really do. I think I would really
enjoy
that.
I can tell how jealous he was talking to our Ken Duggan.
Well, it's a fascinating case,
yeah.
But you know, the bombshell of that call for me was they're not going to play the recordings.
Yeah.
They're not going to play the songs.
Yeah.
So now you got a rule on sheet music being played by a dude with a guitar, I assume.
That sounds like they get out of it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly so. All right, great stuff having Pamela on. We have time for your phone calls. We've been trying to get to this all week long, but we've had a very busy week of shows. But we want to include you for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Allie,
is that what it's called? What's good?
It's What's good? Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's good?
Mm-hmm. I was just seeing what Muggs wrote.
Well,
on
Muggs
the screen.
Wrote What's Jew.
Yeah, he said, hey, don't forget, sell for What's Jew.
Well, that's well, the what? That's the version they play in his neighborhood.
What?
But What's Good what is where we open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067, and you can call us on any topic. If you want to talk about that conversation we just had, you want to talk about anything else that's going on in the world,
beer mug soap diet.
Soap diet.
Maybe Ayesha Curry's tweets last night about the game.
Yes, I'd Hands love to hear what people have to say about
Hands
that.
Hands of Fury?
No.
I don't think
I don't
we have
think
time
we'll
for
have
Hands
time.
Of Fury calls.
Unfortunately.
If you've got problems, if you've got questions, if you've got comments, we turn the show over to you for just a couple of minutes at 1-800-520-1067. Call now and be on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Susan Michaels is going to be joining us in studio in about 15 minutes or so, by the way. She is the organizer of CatCon LA. So, Kevin, you got plans for the weekend.
Oh, I'm so excited.
That is happening. First, though, 1-800-520-1067. It's time for What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Why don't we start with Adam? He's in Santa Ana on line six. He is calling about the NBA finals, which have suddenly gotten very competitive.
Adam, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's good?
Well, I just want to warn all of, well, mainly California, Orange County, LA County, LeBron James might actually win a ring on his own.
I mean, yeah, I mean...
It's tied 3-3.
It is tied 3-3. Look, I am so torn as to who to root for because I love the fact that Golden State is trying to repeat, which we know how hard it is to do in any sport, and I love the fact that they're coming off the greatest season in NBA history, and I think it would be amazing to see them win, and I like that team very much.
Nah.
But
what
it's hard...
Nah.
It's hard
coming
not
back
to,
from 3-1.
Is
that's huge.
Again, it's another incredible story. So that's why I'm torn because, and yeah. I also know how much this championship would mean for the people of Cleveland.
Absolutely.
Who have so little to be happy
oh,
about.
Oh, no, don't say that.
It's Cleveland.
Right. Right. That's my point, is it's Cleveland. They need it. They need it. I would, I would be so happy for them. And it sounds like you're rooting for the Cavs, too.
Well, no, really. I'm probably one of the biggest LeBron haters you'll ever meet.
Oh,
but
you're
I'm
a LeBron hater. I see.
Oh, but so, I'm a high school basketball coach. I love basketball. It's my passion. I'm one of the biggest Lakers, Kobe fans, like,
okay.
around. And but
remember,
series,
do you remember when there used to be playoffs and then the Lakers were in it?
Oh,
those
yeah.
were good times.
Those were
oh,
some
yeah.
good times.
Why do you hate Kobe, by the way? Both. Just why do you hate Kobe? I mean,
LeBron.
Excuse me, LeBron. Why do you hate LeBron? Just because you thought he did Cleveland bad?
No, it all started when he was in Cleveland when he got beat by Orlando. The year the Lakers played Orlando in the finals,
uh-huh.
he got beat and just walked off the court and didn't shake anybody's hand. And
right.
that's what got it for me. That was
wow.
years.
I think he's grown a little since
yeah,
then.
Yeah, he's redeemed himself.
He's become
many
king.
Times over.
He's royalty now.
Oh,
you're a hell of
Adam.
A critic, Adam. For God's sakes, let that go.
All right, let me ask you this, Adam, and then we got to go because we got a lot of good calls here. I know you hate LeBron.
How long can you hate a guy for not shaking hands after a game?
I think the fact that he's a coach, it's all about, you know, the back and forth,
okay.
maybe the respect thing.
All right. My question for you, though, Adam, is even though you hate LeBron, tell me you stuck around to the end of the game to see how generous LeBron was to make sure to acknowledge Craig Sager on the sidelines and what a momentous moment it was for him to be doing his finals. I mean, it was a really classy thing for LeBron to bring up.
It was great that ESPN actually brought him on.
Yeah, the whole thing was a feel-good story.
And
so.
It was cool of LeBron. Say it.
It was cool.
Okay.
I don't mind LeBron, but...
What are you talking about?
You flip-flop.
You're
quite
very confused. All right. Sit down.
We need to move on.
Sit down.
We don't understand you.
All right. Let's try. Let's go to Diana. She's in Northridge. Line one, please.
All
I
right.
don't mind giving this guy a little more love.
This guy, Diana?
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Diana.
Hi. So what's good was that interview yesterday with Brad Meltzer. I got to say, that was probably one of my favorite interviews I think you guys have ever done. Or
And we didn't get to probably 3/4 of the questions that we had.
We could have talked to him all day.
Yeah, he was amazing. He's amazing.
Can we have him back on?
He's amazing.
I agree.
He's incredibly smart. He doesn't make you feel dumb when you are. And that's nice.
Diana, did you do what I did right after the interview? I went and bought every single children's book.
Oh, my gosh. And when he talked about the children's books, like, I have 11-year-old boys, and it was amazing to hear what he said. I'm going to buy those books.
Absolutely.
It was awesome.
I'm glad you called, because we did enjoy Mr. Meltzer yesterday. I just want to throw out this information for folks who weren't with the show yesterday and you haven't had a chance to hear the podcast. Brad Meltzer is his name. He's a best-selling author. He's got a new book out called House of Secrets. He's written a whole bunch of books that are very popular. He's also a very successful comic book artist. But he brought up the children's books that he has written, which is for young people, and it's to give them role models outside of people who are just famous for being hot. So it's everybody from Muhammad Ali to Helen Keller, to Amelia Earhart, to Martin Luther King, and they look amazing. And Allie, you'll never have kids. What are you going to do with all those books?
They're great for actual babies, to give them to the parents as baby gifts, shower gifts, so they can grow into them.
That's a great idea.
Thank you, Diana. See, what Bean was doing was trying to stab me with meanness, but I gave it right back in the form of love.
That's what Bean does.
This is starting the week of love. We had a really tough week last week. Let's go for the good now.
Okay.
Agree, Diana.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. We have a great weekend, too. All right. Let's try. Who do you like here, Kevin? We've got so many good ones. We've got so little time. Let's try Tommy in Glendale. He's on line four. He's calling about a show I love. Tommy.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
And you as well.
He didn't mean you, Bean. You're barren.
Well, what's good is the OJ Made in America show. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Right. It is amazing. And thank you for bringing this up, because I've been having trouble getting people into it because they are all at peak OJ, because everybody already watched The People versus OJ Simpson. So they're like, look, how much time can I spend with that guy from 20 years ago? But tell them why this is so awesome, Tommy.
Well, you know, one of the things, it's really delving into a little bit more of what we saw in that special previously, and just in this last part three, how they took the jurors into his home. And, you know, when the first special came out, you were wondering, did they really actually change the pictures around the room? Well,
Johnny Cochran changed all of the pictures in O.J.'s house
To make him look black.
Exactly. And they just admitted that in this last part. So, I mean, that's just one thing out of so many that just kind of puts it all together and gives you a little bit more, you know, a deeper background of what all went on during that time.
It looks great. And I've recorded all of them. Mm-hmm. I think, what are they, three now?
Number three.
And I can't.
What I was really wondering, so is Bean has the naked picture of OJ, the velvet OJ, right?
Mine's a photograph, yeah.
It's odd that you would remember that, but okay.
And it's in his bathroom, which is another odd place for it.
Well, that's where you want it.
So I'm just wondering, are you sitting next to that? Is that your little shrine there while the OJ Made in America is being played, you know?
I'm just hoping that photo shows up in the miniseries sometimes. That would be awesome for me. But it really is good. It's an ESPN production, if people haven't seen it. And it's more than just the trial. It's about his whole life as a USC football star and as an advertising pitch man and all the other things that he's done. And it's a really fascinating thing. All right, great call, Tommy. I appreciate it so much.
I'm the juice, whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
Let's do one more. We have two Lewis's, believe it or not, but let's go to Lewis V and Pico Rivera. He's on line five. Let's make him our final What's Good call.
Hey, Lewis V.
What's up? What's good?
What's good?
Hey, Kevin, me, you, EDC, Molly.
Molly,
Molly, Molly.
Molly, Kev. Molly, Kev. Molly, Kev.
You don't waste any time, do you, Louis?
Kevin?
I said you don't waste any time. Are you on your way to Vegas right now?
Yeah, bracking up more troops to go out.
Well, Kevin, you already have your flight booked up, right?
Yeah, so I'm on my way. I'll be there.
You'll meet Lewis around 2 o'clock in front of the pool then.
Right.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, take it easy.
Take it easy.
Thank you for calling.
Hey!
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think that, in retrospect, I think that may have been a mistake.
Felt pretty good.
Hey, you know what? It is Friday, and you would think, Kevin Bean, you put in a pretty hard week. You've really, really
who would think that?
You guys have really been bringing the funny. But now you're coasting, right? Now, because the show is almost done for the week, you're coasting, right? Wrong, my friend, because the great Scott Aukerman joins us in the 9 o'clock hour from Comedy Bang Bang. And right now, because it is almost the most wonderful time of the year, I am here to announce CatCon LA is next weekend, Saturday, June 25th and Sunday, June 26th at the Reef in downtown L.A. And it is our extreme pleasure to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, the CatCon L.A. organizer, Susan Michaels, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q-Rock. Hey,
Thank you. Thank you and meow.
Meow to you as well. CatCon LA. So is this just the second year, or have you been doing a lot more than that?
This is just the second year. Before that, I did Cat Art Show LA. Mm-hmm. And then I just did Cat Art Show LA again in March, and 7,000 people came to that.
And CatCon LA last year, I remember we had you in. Uh-huh. And tell me you were shocked by how big it was in its first year out.
Well, you know, cautiously optimistic. But uh-huh. We expected around 8 to 10, and we had almost
8 to 10 people?
Yeah. That's what you wish, but 8 to 10,000.
Sorry, I don't like cats. I'm going to apologize up front.
Well, that's okay.
I'm going to apologize up front.
Wait until you hear how many people do like cats, because how many showed up?
Almost 13,000.
Unbelievable.
Standing in lines to take pictures with cats.
Sure.
That's amazing.
Maybe we can get you to join our kitty cult.
Yeah.
All right. So now the pressure's on. It's a smashing success last year. And then I'm sure the day it ends, you start thinking about, all right, what are we going to do for 2016? And you're here to tell us what's new this year.
Yes, it's going to be a series of wonderful puns coming your way. It's going to be a meowzapalooza.
This is everything I love.
First, you may not know this about Kevin. He hates puns so much.
Almost as much as he hates cash.
Bean loves them.
Should I recuse myself?
I feel like this is not for Kevin.
All right, it's a meowpalooza. I'm in.
Yeah, go on. I love it.
It's going to be cat-tastic.
Sure. Of course it is.
Yes. We've expanded by about 30,000 square feet. We have a 3,000 square foot adoption village, especially for you, with 100 cats that are coming to be adopted. And as far as talent, we have a lot of humans coming this year. We have Julie Newmar, the original Catwoman.
Catwoman.
Okay. Now, let me stop you right there, Susan.
Okay.
So, Julie Newmar, who, you know, is famous, as you mentioned, for playing Catwoman in the original, one of the Catwomans on the original Batman TV series in the 60s, she gets asked to do a lot of conventions, comic book conventions, TV show, Hollywood, memorabilia, those types of things. What was her reaction, if you know, to being contacted to show up at a cat convention?
Well, it was her team that contacted me.
Oh. So she's
and
all in.
I was totally thrilled. She is coming in and holding court in a room that we call the CatCon Muse Lounge, which is my cat is the CatCon Muse. And she's going to be there all day Saturday. She's coming in on her Catmobile. I'm not kidding you.
That's fantastic.
I would expect nothing less.
Yes. And she'll be signing autographs and taking pictures and selling books and all kinds of goodies with her brother, who is also a cat man. I guess it's cat man, cat woman.
Okay.
If you think about it.
All right. Great. All right. So Catwoman is going to be there. Julie Newmar. Who else is there this year?
Andy Milonakis.
Oh, now he's funny. He's the 50-year-old who looks 17, right?
That is correct. He is actually hosting one of our offshoots, which is the Cat Video Fest, which is at the Ace Hotel on Saturday night from 6:30
So the convention center is not big enough? You're actually going in other places downtown?
Yes, actually. Well, CatCon is at the Reef.
I'm sorry. I thought it was the convention.
No, it's okay. We're not that big yet.
Not yet.
I didn't mean to.
But we are expecting 15,000 to 20,000, not 15 to 20 people this time.
Okay.
We also have Marielle Hemingway. She is coming to speak in a lecture, How I Met My Cat and Other Stories.
That's going to be terrible.
She is an Academy Award nominated actress.
Come on,
actress,
I mean, seriously.
Are you kidding me right now with your attitude?
Oh, boy.
With your attitude over there. It is horrible.
Well done, Allie.
You're welcome.
All right. I know that Dave, our producer, has been just buzzing around here all week long with excitement because he is going next week into the Reef, and he can't wait to meet Lil Bub. Now, tell us a little bit about Lil Bub for folks who maybe don't follow funny cat videos on the internet.
Well, Lil Bub is a permakitten, and she was the runt of the litter, and her owner got her actually – Tuesday is her fifth birthday, mm-hmm. and he posted a picture of her online, and she became a celebricat, an instant celebricat, mm-hmm. and she has osteoporosis, and she has millions of followers. She's a special needs kitty, and she's a hero for the under cat dog.
Millions of followers.
No, you can't say under cat dog. That's a bogus pun.
Is being denied?
That's being denied.
Pun denied.
So Lil Bub's got books and calendars and merchandise and fan clubs and the whole deal. And it's just – it has to be pandemonium whenever Lil Bub appears, right?
It is. When we do a series of meet and greets. She does – last year she did Lil Bub's big show, which was sort of like a Letterman set. And she interviewed Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock.
Okay.
And when she was actually in her booth where they sell the merchandise, it was like – people rushing the stage at
it's like a One Direction concert all of a sudden.
Well, I was going to say Beatles, but then that really dates me. But yes, One Direction. Sure. That works.
CatConLA.com is where you want to go, by the way, to buy the tickets. Where is the Reef in downtown L.A.? What part of town is that?
It is on Washington and Broadway.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous
place. Very not dangerous. Very not dangerous.
High crime area.
Oh. Let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something about the people that came last year.
Mm-hmm. Please.
People thought, I'm sure you did, that it would be notoriously the cat lady, which it's okay to be a cat lady.
Sure.
Women over 40. 18 to 34 was our average age. It was like a Coachella cat concert.
People of all persuasions.
It was superb. To see such a variegated crowd. So it was, and guess what? 30% were dudes.
How about
30%.
That?
30%. So maybe some positivity would be good from you, Kevin.
30% were dudes that were going because their girlfriends wanted them to go.
Hey, I got a story for you. I got a CatCon love story for you. All two right. Vendors across from each other, one from Canada, one from the UK. She ran Meowington's. He runs Blunderpuss. They met at CatCon. They fell in love, and they got engaged 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's
no
a
one is
wonderful
calling to
story.
Interrupt her. That is beautiful.
That is a great story.
That is great.
I'm not in charge
so
of
much
the phone.
In common. All right, right. Stop with that already.
They're going to be in love forever.
I have something special for you guys, though.
Okay.
One of our seminars is called the Get Ready, the Ferocious Fashion Face-Off, spelled F-U-R-R-R. And it's sort of Project Runway meets America's Next Top Meowdle.
Okay, I'm not sure we need any of that. But I'm not sure. That's
Dean,
a bullseye.
You're all in on this. What about that one?
Well, show us your catspirational attire.
Okay, maybe not that one. But look, the CatCon LA has a lot of great stuff. It is not this weekend, but next weekend,
nope.
June 25th and June 26th at the Reef in downtown LA. $25 for a 1 day pass, $40 for a 2 day pass. You can go to catconla.com for all the information.
Nope.
Susan, you'll be around meeting people all weekend long too?
Yes, and by the way, for Kitty K Rock listeners, we have a special $5 off if you go to catconla.com. The passcode is catconla.
Do they have to go right meow or can they go later to get that?
They can go right meow.
Okay.
Meow or later.
Okay.
Dave is coming down, and I think Beer Mug is coming down, and I believe he may be appearing in a cat's costume, too, I think, which is going to – he'll just blend right in. So be looking for him down there. All right, Susan?
All right. I'll look forward to it.
Great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for being mean. I was doing my best.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be 500. Okay. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Wait, hold on. What just happened?
$500.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I believe we'll be hearing that in the top 10 moments with of 2016 here in a few months, I think.
Oh. Pete, I don't know if you saw this, but last night somebody tweeted Allie that had listened to the podcast and was like, I don't know, it sounds to me like Allie's
like
way off.
Sounds like she screwed up.
I was like, oh my God.
Wow, those are your people.
How dumb do you have to be to get on my side?
Hey, Scott Aukerman joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour and will qualify you to go to Lollapalooza to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers and more. It's K-Rock Festival Flyway 2016 destination number 4. All of that right after Allie's Showbiz Beat.
Hey, you guys, I just want to remind you about a great show that's happening Monday night. Still don't know. Is it called the Saban or Saban? I say Saban.
I think it's Saban. I think that's what I've heard.
I don't know.
Let's go with Saban Theater. Monday, June 20th at 8 o'clock. If you guys didn't know, Bobby Slayton, who comes on the show a lot, comic Bobby Slayton, he lost his wife, Teddy. Very unfortunate situation. And this is an evening of comedy to celebrate the life of Teddy.
And you'll be able to see amazing people like Ray Romano, Brian Regan, Bill Burr, Dana Carvey, Louis Anderson, Bob Saget, John Lovitz, and it's hosted by Arsenio Hall. So an amazing show, and proceeds are going to go to Bobby to help him out. But tickets starting at $50, available by going to Ticketmaster. So it's well worth it just to support Bobby in this, but then you get to see that rundown of people.
Yeah, it's what a hell of a lineup.
Yeah, great night. It's comics support their own. So check it out again this Monday, June 20th at the Saban Theater.
I do know that people love Arsenio Hall, so I'm glad that
I've heard that. Some guy said that one time.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
But not enough to keep him on the air.
I mean, why would you?
I don't know why he would say that. And he was also saying that to the people. Like, I don't know who he was talking to.
Look, I've given it a lot of thought over the years. And I think what happened was, at the time we were interviewing Mr. Hall at a movie premiere or whatever that was, there were a lot of people clapping for him. So I think that was just my observation of, hey, look at all these people giving him love, so the people love him.
You should have just said, people are clapping.
Right.
What about, was it you that did the dog pound?
Arsenio Hall is here, looking good.
At what point did you think, ooh, was the sound of the dog?
I feel like he was happy with that. If I remember correctly, he was in the dog pound for a second himself.
I am not a master impressionist. That's what I know about me.
Do your Hulk Hogan.
I can't do, look, I can't do impressions at all, but ooh was my version of whatever the wolf sound is that Arsenio and his people
do. It's a wolf?
You know what I mean.
What do you mean, Bean?
What did he have? He had a wolf pound?
A wolf pound.
Or whatever.
Or what?
My point is, $50, incredible lineup, hosted by Arsenio Hall. The people love him. All right. Come on. Pull it together.
All right. Right? Are we done? Is the show over? Speaking of what do you mean?
Stay on target.
Okay, sorry. Anybody see the video of Justin Bieber at his show last night? In, I believe it was Saskatchewan. It really doesn't matter where it was. Just know that he took a fall that is not good. There are all different angles, but I've just looked it up at refinery29.com. It shows two different
angles.
It's
on TMZ also, if people want to see it there.
I mean, he takes a fall, like where he falls off the stage and tries to grab the other side of the stage, but he just hits his elbow on the way down and kind of jerks.
It's a look. Wow. It's been very. It's become very hip.
That's what I'm saying. You were like the OG.
The Edge, I think his fall was bad.
That
Dave Grohl's was the worst.
Right.
I think Shirley Manson's was probably the best, just in terms of how flawlessly she recovered.
She didn't miss a note.
No.
Not a note. Yeah.
No, and then stayed in the crowd to finish half the song. She's phenomenal.
Bean just laid there.
I know. Seriously, Bean.
Like an a-hole waiting to be carried out by paramedics.
How dull.
Be more like Shirley Manson is what we're saying.
I know. I mean,
we've been saying that for years. But
unfortunately,
out.
It looks like Bieber's okay.
Not unfortunately. We're very happy he wasn't really injured. But he tweeted right after the show, great show tonight, hashtag purpose tour. So maybe he just thought people wouldn't notice. But
noticed.
People noticed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. All right, let's get to Scott Aukerman. All of these stars were born today, June 17th. Singer Barry Manilow is 73.
What's your favorite Manilow song, Allie?
That I write the songs, probably.
That's the remix.
And yeah, it's good, but I think the original is much better. No. Chip's working feverishly over there, so I want to see what she comes up with.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull out your tongue? Cause you notice that bubble stuffed.
Yeah, that's
deep in her jean she's wearing.
Nope.
I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get with you.
Not very mental,
and take your picture. My homeboys try to warn me, but that butt you got makes me so horny.
That's
alright.
Yeah.
Big butts.
That's
butts are Godhead.
They are Godhead. That's some audio of Rodney doing karaoke.
Oh. I do not understand what is going on right now at all.
I get it. Will Forte is 46. Tennis player Venus Williams is 36. UFC's Chris Weidman, 32. And rapper Kendrick Lamar is 29. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Grumman, walking the showbiz beat.
IFC is a channel that you will find on your television, and they have a show. Am I wrong so far?
Nope.
So far, correct.
I don't know.
You are correct, sir.
They have a show that the critics love so much, I wanted to play this piece of tape.
It's Pitch Perfect, a true gem, and basically the best thing on TV.
Is that sinking in yet, America?
Hailed by the New York Times, the Boston Globe, and Rolling Stone.
Does anyone have any Q-tips? Because I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Unfortunately, that show is documentary now. We couldn't get Bill Hader or Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
But we do have Scott Aukerman, who has another show that's not as good, also on IFC. So let's welcome Scott Aukerman.
Thank you. Wow. If it wasn't so true, I would be insulted right now. Yeah, we're not documentary now. But we've been on longer and have more episodes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
And do they have Weird Al?
They don't have Weird Al,
so
right?
Suck it.
No, they have.
Although if they wanted him, they could steal him from you, Scott.
Sure, no. Al will do anything that he's asked to do.
All Bill Hader has to do is pick up the phone, and Al is his.
Yeah. No. Hi, guys. Pleasure to be back on.
Great to have you as well.
Hi, Scott.
But of course, is the creator of the genius program Friday Nights on IFC called Comedy Bang Bang. Just back for its fifth season, I want to say.
Fifth season, and we're nearing the 100th episode.
And I know every time we talk to you, we are astonished by how many episodes you churn out. In four seasons of the show, you made how many?
The first four seasons, we made 90.
Okay.
And we'll at the end of this season, we'll have 110.
That's unbelievable.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is a blistering pace.
It's on average of 22 a year, which is what a normal show does, but still.
But you do it all in one day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we did 40 last year, so that was why, you know.
I remember you came in the middle of that, Scott, and I swear I felt like
he was a zombie.
Did I look like a walking corpse?
Yeah, you crawled into the studio. You could barely lift your head to talk in the mic.
Well, I normally have to do that to crawl in to beg you guys to be on the show. So.
Please.
Right.
We take you immediately. We just talked to
you.
We just talked to an effing cat lady.
Oh, she was great.
Holy
Kevin.
Cow. I was surprised because you did a bunch of press around the premiere a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And one of the articles, and I wish I could give it credit because it was really the deepest dive I've seen into how Comedy Bang Bang is put together. It might have been Rolling Stone.
Might have been Billboard, actually.
It could have been Billboard.
I
so you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
They talked about how much goes into filming each episode.
Yeah.
Because even though it is a very quick 22 minutes that moves hit, it takes 15 hours sometimes to film that show.
Yeah, there were a few days last season where it was just, you know, you'd be on like hour 18 and I would just be saying, I can't improvise anymore. I don't know what
I'm
to
out.
Say anymore, you know? we shoot a lot of stuff. You know, if there's someone on the show, like, you know, who isn't a normal comedian, sometimes you just want to overshoot. Like tonight, we have T-Pain on, who's a really funny dude.
See, I don't know that about him.
Yeah, he's so funny, but not a normal comedian. Mm-hmm. So you want to like overshoot a little more and shoot a lot of stuff so you have, you know, a lot to choose from. So we'll just be, you know, it takes so long to shoot the show. It's such
a
pain.
So you literally could sit there with a guy like T-Pain. Would you sit there for 3 hours to try to get a 5-minute cut?
It will. If a guest comes in, normally it's 6 hours.
Wow.
It's a 6-hour time commitment. So what you see on the show, the part with just the guest is taking 6 hours, and the parts with everyone else is taking another, on the average, day and a half or so to shoot.
Well, I don't feel insane. Like you're very good at it.
I know. We're wasting time.
So then, if you spend a whole day filming, and then how long does it take you to edit that one episode?
One episode, the editors are great. They're really,
it
really good.
Take 13 years, Pete.
Yeah. No, we taped these 20 years ago. It's.
But the good news is, with all the footage, if you die, we can have them forever.
Yeah, exactly. And we knew T-Pain was going to be popular 20 years ago.
You're the Tupac of IFC.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
By the way, I read something on Twitter yesterday, like, happy birthday, Tupac. It would have been it's not his happiest birthday,
no.
I would say.
And people got mad at me yesterday for not including him in the show.
In the birthdays?
And we don't do people that have passed birthdays because, A, they don't.
There'd be way too many of them, first of all.
And right. B, stop.
Everyone through history.
Yes.
Silly. Yeah, but it takes a long time.
Why do you think it is, Scott? And this is a serious question because, you know, we've met a few times and you seem like a very nice, affable, easygoing guy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why?
That's the setup. Okay.
Why don't you like me more?
No, that's a good follow up. But why won't any band leader stay with you? Like, why do you run off all of your sidekick band leaders? Do you
think? I really, you know, I think the show is so difficult to do that I'm the only one who kind of look, it takes a long time to do. Weird Al Yankovic is our current band leader. He loves the show. It's his favorite television show. That's the only reason he decided to be on a tiny show that is on something called IFC, which apparently exists.
It's on Documentary Now is on that channel.
Oh, right. Yeah. They should just change the channel title to Documentary Now channel or the Fred Armisen channel.
I believe, Al, he came in before the premiere on the show a couple weeks ago, and he seemed 100% sincere that this was a huge deal for him to do this show, because you're right. It's his favorite show.
Yeah, he loved it.
It's a huge deal for us, and to hear him say that it's a huge deal for him is pretty incredible. I mean, you know, this is a guy who hasn't done a regular TV gig since the Weird Al show on CBS back in the 90s, I think, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's when I asked him when Kid Cudi, our previous band leader, quit. We were about to film. It was like a month out, a lot of the scripts were written, and you know, I just took a Hail Mary pass, and I was like, Al, I know you love the show.
And what are the chances he wouldn't be busy during that?
Yes,
time?
It's so crazy. I sent the email, and he got it the day he returned from his massive tour. And he woke up in the morning just off the bus, essentially, opened his email. It was the first email he read. And he wrote me back immediately and said, I want to do this. I have the time free.
What?
It was crazy. And we met for breakfast and we talked about what he would do on the show. And he just said, well, I really want to do this. And that was it. It was insane. That never happens.
That's beautiful. Magic. Where'd you guys eat?
That's,
I feel like,
weirdo.
That's
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Part of the story. I hope that's true. I hope it was Roscoe's. Did you get the number 13?
Oh, of course.
That's the
am I, a savage?
that is the best. Speaking of Al, he has been great. There's been four episodes that I've seen so far this season, and he has been great, and I love how many different things you've had. I mean, you almost killed him with birds pecking his face away last
week.
But let's talk for a minute, Scott Aukerman, here on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about Comedy Bang Bang on IFC.
Great reset.
Friday nights. Let's talk about the sex robot and how you had Al make it out with some dude's tongue. Like, tell me how that was put together.
All right, well,
that was not sexy.
No.
First of all.
And actually, it turned out not gross enough the first time we did it. The first time we did it, essentially what we did was we had a Al falls in love with a robot in this episode.
Like you do.
And it's like an Ex Machina thing, except the robot is not sexy. The robot is – it looks like the maid on the Jetsons. It's really clunky and – so we wanted the robot to have like a protruding sort of David Cronenberg-esque appendage that came out of its mouth.
Yeah.
And all we could really film was like a metal pipe that came out. Okay. And it was really so basic. And I was kind of bummed by it. But then the director and the editors got together and they were able to CGI a tongue coming out of it. The grossest tongue.
That was real.
Tongue.
That was not
CGI. No, it was a real tongue, but they were able to CGI it onto the
pipe. Wow. Brilliant.
And I have footage of it's the editor's tongue. And I have footage of him. He did it on his iPhone of him just like pointing an iPhone at his tongue. And moving it around in the grossest way. I was like, oh, they must have gotten stock footage of a tongue. No, that's the editor's tongue. So now I know how our editor French kisses, which is not something.
Not something anyone needed to see ever.
But the way it was shot, I mean, it really does look like Al goes. It just goes for it.
It's interesting because we have, you know, the show is kind of dirty sometimes, and Al is not a dirty comedian.
No, he always works clean.
And so it was sort of a conversation.
You'll never hear Al say a bad word.
No.
He said that with such pride.
I know.
It was sort of...
Because not Al's for everyone.
Al works clean.
My Al works clean. He doesn't use dirty words.
But it became a conversation with him of, like, how much do you want to do? Because I think, you know, it's his favorite show, so he certainly has an appreciation for the type of humor we do.
For the absurd, right?
And I think that robot episode was, we were taking it up to the limit.
You were pushing the limits right there?
Because he was kind of making...
surprised.
Yeah, but it was great. It's great to see him push the boundaries of what he'll do. And he's playing a character on it. He's playing, like, quote, Weird Al. Actually, Weird Al is already in quotes. So it's like, quote, Weird Al, end quote. So he's not married on the show, so he could have dating episodes, which is the same for me. I need dating episodes, you know, so I'm not married on the show. So, you know, it's really interesting to see him push it like that and do sex jokes about a robot.
Yeah. No, it's been a great season so far.
Oh, thanks.
It really has.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Scott Aukerman is here, creator, executive producer, and host of Comedy Bang Bang, comedian, writer, of course, the podcast, and so much else going on with Mr. Aukerman that we will discuss when we return right after this on K-Rock. Back-to-back episodes every Friday night at 11 on IFC. We're talking about Comedy Bang Bang. Our friend Scott Aukerman is in studio with us right now, the host and creator of the show. Here's a clip from when you recently had Tony Hale on from Veep.
It's time to get to our first guest. He stars on the HBO series Veep. Before that, he was on Arrested Development. Before that, things are kind of a mystery. Please welcome Tony Hale.
Yay!
Hi!
Tony Hale on the couch now. Here comes Tony Hale.
Hale, yeah!
Oh,
thank
nice.
You.
Nice. Welcome.
The posture in this set is so nice.
Like, thank you so
much. It helps your posture. You know, sometimes you sit in couches and it's just like an immediate.
You know, this started actually as a chiropractic office, and then it evolved into a talk show.
That makes sense.
See, that does make sense, right? A guy like Tony Hale has got to be a dream guest because he's the king of improv.
Yeah, Tony or someone like Bill Hader. Anytime you have a really great comedian, Fred Armisen, other IFC stars from Documentary Now. You know, anytime they're on the show, Bobby Moynihan was on the Tegan and Sarah episode. Anytime you have someone like that on the show, I can kind of relax. I mean, I'm sure you guys feel it, you know, where sometimes you have to put in a little more work on a guest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll have a cat lady who...
And sometimes it's just Jimmy Pardo and he takes over and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, when you have a Tony Hale on the couch, that things are just going to be easy and you don't have to do it in 6 hours. You can do it in 5 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow, you can cut it down that much.
Yeah.
Has anyone been injured in the nonsense stunts that you've done on Comedy Bang Bang throughout the years?
Weirdly, yes. The in the second season, we had a day where we were shooting a gun battle. Now, that sounds terrible, but hear me out.
Okay.
Reggie Watts, our former band leader, was in the midst of a big like drug deal episode and had a gun battle. And in the middle of shooting it, we heard a noise like it sounded like a cat being run over or a cat being run over and then strangled to death. Like, oh, I didn't get it bad enough. Here, let me do this.
No.
And we found out that one of our not interns, but one of our grips maybe had put a candy bar on a scissor lift and was playing a game where they were trying to grab the candy bar before the scissor lift came down on their hand.
Oh, my God.
And her hand was mutilated.
Oh, no.
Not mutilated. I mean, I think she's fine now.
Sure, she's fine.
Yeah, but she got that candy bar.
What kind of people are you hiring?
That was when I had to take a good hard look at our hiring practices.
And when you say she's fine, you mean she can do almost as much with the hook as she used to do with the hand.
Exactly, yeah. You know, they're making prosthetics really realistic now at this point.
Well, frankly, if that's the worst injury you've had on your show, I'm impressed because I feel like you guys put yourself in a lot of danger sometimes with the nonsense.
Yeah. There was a point at one point where I started realizing when you're an actor in something, no one cares about you. They want to get the shot. They want to get the perfect shot, right? So there was a subplot on a Josh Groban episode where I'm hit in the head with a sandbag and I travel back in time to the 60s. And I was just about to shoot it. And I casually asked, hey, what's in the sandbag to the property department? And the prop master shrugged and said, sand.
Oh,
and I
no!
said, well, how heavy is it? He goes, I don't know. It's a sandbag. You wrote in the script you get hit with a sandbag. And they were about to drop a 30-pound sandbag on my head.
And you were thinking, I don't know, maybe a substitute, something that looks like a sandbag but isn't?
I flipped out and I was like, guys, what are we doing here? We put, crunched up newspapers in it. It's it's incredible how, you have to look out for yourself in these situations.
Funny.
How long has it been since you've had somebody come on the show that had no idea what they were getting into?
I think that happens every once in a while.
It still happens?
Incredibly, this season, everyone was into it. I would get really nervous anytime I would have someone like, say, Joe Jonas is on the show next week, right? And mm-hmm. I get really nervous because what is this 22-year-old kid? He probably doesn't know the show. He doesn't know what he's in for. And then Joe Jonas or T-Pain, like both of those guys were so into it and so cool. And so like Joe Jonas at one point was like, I want to come back and I want to do a character on the show. Like he wanted to do it. Yeah. So this season we were really, really lucky. But occasionally every once in a while you'll have someone on who doesn't know what they're getting into. But, that happens with like an A$AP Rocky, for instance. You know, he was on the show, didn't have any idea what it was. And then had such a good time. Or Allison Janney this year, another one who was like, in the middle of it, she turned to everyone and said, I feel like I'm high right now. What is happening?
She seems like the type of person who could just roll
just
with it.
Oh, yeah. Everyone this season rolled with it. I mean, there hasn't been an episode where I've been like, oh, boy, we got to edit around that person.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's been great.
Scott Aukerman here on the Kevin Bean Show. Of course, I like to think of you as one of the early podcasters. It's been, what, 10 years or something?
7 years. We just had our 7-year anniversary.
So I'm really wrong and way off.
You just jumped
on a bandwagon.
Well,
you were actually the last dude in America to get a podcast then.
Not as early as Jimmy Pardo, but we were relatively early. 7 years is not bad.
And how
bad,
often do you find the time to still take the show out on the road and do the live podcast?
We just did a live tour for 3 weeks, and we were up in Seattle. I wish you would come.
He doesn't leave his house.
Oh, right.
I might have for that, though. I did not realize that.
We had it was a 3-week-long tour. We played to 30,000 people, and it was incredible.
Oh,
it's insane to me that you can go out and do a live podcast, which is essentially when we do the podcast, it's me and comedians playing fake characters,
and
we improvise it, and it's totally new every show. And to be playing to big crowds of like 2,000 people a city is really incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it is a new wave of comedy. I mean, it's something different for stand-up. Yeah, exactly. That's cool. And your wife's show, The Bajillion Dollar Properties?
Yes, Bajillion Dollar Properties.
People are loving it.
That's so
the
funny.
The first season is all up on CISO.com. It's so funny. I'm really proud of it. I was just watching the season finale of next season yesterday. We were editing it together, and it's so funny and such great. Weird Al is on that, and Zach Galifianakis, and so many great people are on that show. It's so funny. I wish people would check it out.
I was super into the show because I love The Million Dollar Properties. I love those shows.
Right.
I now watch those and I'm bummed. I'm like,
because they're not as
funny. Because it's ridiculous how much you take what these people are really like and then make them so over the top ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, there's some really over the top stuff next season. The next season comes out in September, and it's there's a whole subplot about the real estate awards where all of the brokers are up for like Oscars essentially, but in real estate. Tom Lennon and Ben Garant are back as the antagonists.
Awesome.
And they have a big subplot next season. It's really funny.
You mentioned your friend Zach Galifianakis, and a lot of people probably know Scott is the writer for Between Two Ferns. And how great was Baskets?
Oh, if I had seen it, I would say it was great.
How could you not watch your friend's show? It was so good.
I hear it was
awesome.
There's
only 6 episodes.
I think there was 10.
I think there were 10 episodes.
Yeah.
I was making Comedy Bang Bang, a show that takes a million years to do.
But don't you have some sort of an unspoken, hey, I got my buddy's back thing?
I do have to watch it.
You're going to love it, Scott.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. He's on our 100th episode coming up. He's the guest on our 100th episode, our special 100th episode.
You should watch it before then.
He walked into our studio and was like, I'd kind of like to film here. So he's thinking of like moving Baskets to a studio or something. But yeah, I got to check it out. We definitely, especially if we do another Between Two Ferns, it's going to be an awkward set if I haven't seen it by then.
Exactly. All right. Unfortunately, we're out of time, my friend.
Oh, I hate this.
I hate it too. Please give Al our love. love when you see him next.
I will. I will.
And congratulations on being back for season number 5 with back-to-back episodes every Friday night on IFC. The show is so funny, you guys. There, every once in a while, we say, if you like this show, we can guarantee you'll like that show.
Oh,
and this
thank
is one
you
of those
so much,
cases.
Because that show's way better than this
way
show.
Better,
oh,
right.
No. And again, I'm such a fan of you guys and have been listening for 2 decades at this point. So I appreciate you having me on the show.
Have yourself a great weekend, man. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Allie is here with a final look at the showbiz beat. First, let me congratulate Jose Sasso from Los Angeles, who is qualified to go to Lollapalooza in Chicago, courtesy of our friends at Warner Brothers Records. He'll be seeing the Red Hot Chili Peppers and lots of other great bands. It's K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016 Destination Number 4. If he wins, we'll do that grand prize drawing on Monday morning. Your chance to qualify at noon today. All right, Allie, it's all you. Take us home.
All right, I just want to remind everybody, this Monday, June 20th at 8 p.m. at the Saban Theater, they're having a show. It's Comics Support Their Own, and it's all to benefit our friend of the show, Bobby Slayton, who sadly lost his wife, Teddy. And it's going to be just an evening to celebrate her, celebrate Bobby, let him know that all these people are there for him. So not only a great event just to support Bobby, but you're going to get to see these comics perform. Ray Romano, Brian Regan, Bill Burr, Dana Carvey, Louis Anderson, Bob Saget, and John Lovitz. And it's all hosted by Arsenio Hall. So if you're looking for something that's going to be very worthwhile and a great event and something to really support Bobby, and again, it's Monday, June 20th, 8 p.m., Saban Theater. Tickets start at $50, and you can find them on Ticketmaster. So great event happening there. Remember when we talked about Finding Dory coming out and
yes.
It's going to make upwards of $100 million? Well, it's well on its way because the Thursday night numbers have come in. Finding Dory brought in $9.2 million.
What?
That's what I'm saying. A record Thursday preview number for an animated film. It beat out Minions. They held the previous record with $6.2
million. What?
That was before opening with $115.7 million just last year. So already $9.2 million for Finding Dory.
What?
I know. I know. It's pretty amazing. If you didn't hear it earlier, this might be one of the most bizarre and amazing stories ever. So we all saw earlier in the week, James Corden does the carpool karaoke. He did it with the members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was amazing. We played clips. At one point, they got out of the car and wrestled on some random person's lawn, took off their shirts.
It's awesome. If you haven't seen it, look for it.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. But then when you find this out, that they also had a dance-off, which they didn't include. But as they were walking back from the dance-off and the wrestle-off, they heard a woman come out of her house holding her child saying, "My baby, my baby, my baby can't breathe." So all the members of Red Hot Chili Peppers ran across the street. The woman gave her child to Anthony Kiedis, and he said, "I'm going to try and do a little baby CPR real quick, see if I can get some air in this kid." And then he said, "So I started rubbing the belly, bubbles came out from the mouth, the eyes rolled back into place, the ambulance showed up, and I handed the baby over, who was now breathing and fine, and we went back to carpool karaoke."
Would you guys know what to do if somebody handed you a baby who wasn't breathing? I wouldn't.
I don't think I would. That's awful. Yeah.
I actually would.
You would? You do know CPR?
What do you do? Yeah. Why, yes. Then explain to me, why did he rub her tummy?
Yeah, I don't understand how that's all it took. I don't understand how he just rubbed.
You think there was some Heimlich also, maybe?
It must have been.
Or some CPR?
I don't know. It's weird, though. But imagine you walk out of your house and there's 4 members of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. I'm sure at that point she didn't even realize.
She didn't even see who it was.
It was just people. She was probably running with the baby outside because the ambulance was on its way.
Yeah, that
could
be.
Saw people and that was just, you know, you're
look for anybody to help.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right?
So Anthony's a hero.
Absolutely. And here's his final quote about it. "It was kind of a beautiful thing that we stopped for the dance-off as the baby needed help and we were there. The little baby looked at me the entire time until the ambulance came. Little baby Nina."
Because that's what champions do.
That is right. That is what champions
they
do.
They did get out of their car and wrestle on a stranger's front lawn.
They sure did.
So, I mean,
they sure did.
What crazy luck
yes.
was that?
And may I just say, James Corden and your people, if
for some reason you're listening, if you have footage of a dance-off between the Chili Peppers and James Corden, can we please see that?
I feel like we need to see that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, don't Bogart that.
Don't Bogart that dance-off. I mean, how many dance-off you've been in?
Hundreds.
Hundreds,
sure.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And even if they're not your best dance-off, still worth seeing.
Correct. All of them are worth
All
looking
of them.
For. Yeah.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin knows.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Red Hot Chili Peppers, their album comes out today. It's out right now. Chip actually listened to it on the way home from her gig last night. It's called The Getaway. Chip, let's hear your review.
It's really good.
That was Chip.
All right.
With her Red Hot Chili Peppers The Getaway review. Also,
she's concise.
I mean, that's all you want to hear. Really good. You're excellent.
Agreed.
Yes. Also, Radiohead's A Moon-Shaped Pool is out. Neil Young, Earth. Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers, Rehab, Reunion. And Unlocking the Truth, Chaos, is out. All of these stars born today, June 17th. Singer Barry Manilow is 73. Actor Will Forte is 46. Tennis player Venus Williams is 36. UFC's Chris Weidman, 32. Kendrick Lamar is 29. And Greg Kinnear is 53. I'm in for Ralph Garman. He'll be back on Monday. That was a weird. And
it wasn't ideal.
Ralph Garman.
He's been working
Monday.
With Kevin too long.
God, you ain't kidding. He's back Monday. Go.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon at 5 p.m. We get an hour of commercial-free music right here on the world-famous K-Rock. So enjoy.
Hey, will we be right back?
And we'll be right back.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Give me a meat.
Roll another one.
These nuts.
Just like the other one.
That's enough of them, man.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
I need another hit.
Unable to even. I have lost my ability to even. I am so unable to even. Oh my God.
That don't make no sense.
Why?
Roll another one.
Ask the gays.
Just like the other one.
Douchebag!
This one seems to be about to end.
This is why you fail.
I don't have another cent.
I have a great relationship with the blacks. I've always had a great relationship with the blacks.
It could also be diarrhea.
Just pass it around.
Taint wars.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Why do some people tune out?
Just pass it.
The mic has been dropped.
I don't want to do this anymore. You know, it's, and I'm okay with that.
They can never, ever, ever, ever come back. It's over.
Can we go now? I feel like I want to take a bunch of showers.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
So that's coming up tomorrow as well. We'll be right back.
Will we? Thought we were done after these words.
Walk on.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.